Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Shop Black Friday Week Deals Sunday through Friday at Kohl's. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And take an extra 15% off. Get the Big One Throws, $8.49. Toastmaster Small Appliances are just $2.14 after rebate. And Fitbit Versa 2 is $129.99. Plus, take 30% off Lego, 70% off fine jewelry, and save on boots for her, $16.99. Plus, get fast and free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Week Deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles. Offers valid November 22nd through the 27th. 15% off with promo code ENJOY15. Lego and Fitbit offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10. Take it away, boys.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Top 10 Show and our first episode officially back on Collider. So excited to be doing this. I'm your host, John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost. I was just trying to get that last bite, a Cliff bar out of my mouth before I began speaking. It's the only sustenance I've had for like 5 hours.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I just finished wolfing down some Chipotle, so I get it. So I'm not in the same condition you are. You're trying to get a little snack in your body so you can get through this show.
And yet you still started like 5 seconds before. I could have had that down.
Yeah.
I could have had it down.
I haven't studied your masticating, so I don't know when you were done.
You should study. You should know my mastication cycles.
I don't know. There's a cycle to it.
I don't know. I would imagine there's different stages within every chewing, so they
That's
break
true.
It down.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We're already starting in a great place. Well, listen, for those of you who are new to our show, which we haven't said in a very, very long time, welcome to our show.
Well, I'm not to interrupt, and I apologize for doing that.
Go ahead.
We haven't announced it because we don't know when they're new. Is this time it's just like, okay, yes, there are going to be new.
Right.
So you should make a point of it. But
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
To say we've been remiss before, it's just like, well, we didn't know a wave was coming in.
In the past, we've had new people discover us every week. We just haven't made
Still
a point
happens,
of of addressing them directly. But this, because we're on a new feed,
100%.
I think people might stumble upon us or discover us or take a chance on us for the first time. Thank you so much for doing that. But the show itself, Matt and I come up with a theme, and then we go our separate ways, make our list, come back, and then we combine it at the end. He'll do a better job of describing it later on in the show. But that's basically what this show is.
Please, I do it as a fucking barker now. You know what I mean?
It's so good what you
auction,
do.
I'm an auctioneer, though.
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah, okay. If you don't know the rhythm of it, I'm sure it's a lot of shit coming at you in a weird
– people have created poster boards.
We'll get to it, though,
and brought to live shows.
They have.
To add a respect for what you're able to – and T-shirts. I think it's on T-shirts. Somebody created a T-shirt, I think, one time of everything you say. I thought I saw a T-shirt. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd remember a T-shirt. The sign was in Chicago.
Oh, the sign was in Chicago. You're right. Okay, so maybe not a T-shirt. Not a T-shirt, but it's been done. How are you, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man.
What's going on?
Happy to be here. It was, we got the opportunity to come in the studio. This new partnership we have with Collider. So our patrons get it the video a week before. So, But the show will continue as just two guys talking.
Yes, absolutely.
Cameras will be there. I'm sure we'll play to them every once and again. How
could
you not?
Right. It's kind of the job.
It is on some level.
That's why we did it, too, to go back on camera.
Well, we just had so many people saying, when are you going to come back on camera? And one person suggested putting old shows on camera. And I was like, well, so do you think we just have video and we're holding it back?
Yeah.
Or are we supposed to go back and recreate those? Like, I had a million things. So, like, how dumb would that be if we went back, like, their radio plays? Hold on. What do I say here next? Okay, here we go.
Delete video. No. And we're excited to do it. And Collider and Mark Fernandez, definitely a big shout out to them. Of course, the production crew who are helping us, Adam and Cody, will be posting stuff on the end of this show in post. And so you'll see their graphics. I know a lot of you who watched the YouTube version of the show in the previous iteration when it was on camera loved the graphics and how they compiled our lists.
So did we.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. It was one of the best parts of the show.
I'm sure we'll both tune in at some point or see it. Like, oh, hey, this is what we did for the title cards this week.
Yeah.
Awesome. That looks fantastic.
Might not be a bad thing to record ourselves separately, like reacting to the cards as we watch them for the first time on YouTube or something like that. Yes. That would be funny. As extra content, I mean.
Okay, sure. That you're saying to do separately. And I was like, well, that's stopping one of us from faking it. Oh, look at that. Oh, hey! Look at that, guy. You just only have so much time.
Oh,
you're doing the audio.
So good.
Yeah, so good. Man, the amount of time this must have taken.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
really impressive. I wish I had this skill.
Yeah?
No, I'm just saying, as this fictionalized, we just keep going, really sell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's your job. Well, we're both actors in a past life.
I've never considered myself an actor.
Wow. That's a strong statement. You've booked commercials and you don't consider yourself an actor.
I've never taken an acting class. Mm. I just kind of go in and be myself.
Wow. You've broken the key.
Broke the key?
How do you say that?
I broke the key off in the lock. None of you fuckers are coming in behind me. Ha ha! Well, if that's how it works, man, I'd still be in the game. That's fun. Fuck you.
Suckers. There it is. So anyway, today we are counting down the top 10 movies based on a book because of that film coming out that's based
on Dr. Sleep, baby.
Dr. Sleep, right, the sequel to The Shining, which they had said initially had nothing to do with The Shining. And then, of course, they eventually were, when that trailer dropped, everyone was like, you lying sexist so-and-so. It does have everything to do with The Shining.
Maybe we were willing to more accept it the first time, not thinking it was a part of and liking what it's showing so far. So when it does the reveal and be like, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
As opposed to having the expectations of you have to follow The Shining.
Yes. It's a rough thing.
You're looking at K2, like the world's toughest mountain to climb, I believe. So like, hey, okay. Why don't we tell people?
Yeah.
It's fucking Kilimanjaro, which you and I could walk up to because it's just a steady gradient.
It is? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's high off of sea level, right. Yes, but it's a day's hike.
Do you have to train yourself when you're going up a hill, like to not lose your breath?
I'm sure it would be smart.
Okay. All right.
But I don't think it would take severe training.
Because I was in Denver for 3 days. I didn't pass out. People talk about the altitude of playing in Denver or whatever in Denver. And I'm like, I was in there for 3 days. I didn't pass out or anything.
True. But then try going to do any kind of physical. I like to ski. And at that reduced – like it is much harder on your body throughout the day. It's a hell of a workout if you can ski like 6-7 hours in a day.
Wow.
I don't usually – occasionally I'll get there for first tracks, but usually I'm like I'll get there at like 10 and then ski until close.
Yeah. Okay.
Take like a half-hour break. I try and get as much in as I possibly can.
How's the house going? What's the update?
Good. We're good to go, baby.
Yeah. It's all set?
I mean we still have final details to do on the bottom one, but the city is
– approved everything?
Well, here was the problem.
Okay. Break it down, man.
Break it down. For those that don't know, my wife and I bought a place and it's got two rental units on it to help us subsidize the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So the first unit that's downstairs and our house were built in 1938. And in 1942, the original owner applied for a permit on the downstairs unit to add the second unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's above the garage. So it's a studio apartment above the garage.
Yeah.
So they had to put the address of that unit down there. So technically, on record, there is no record of this second address, even though since 1942, it has been rented out. And it was legal with the post office. They granted it a third address.
Wow.
LADWP had been sitting in its own bill and on its own meter for decades upon decades. The LA Housing Department has been taking money as a three-unit complex for – we have records for 30 years. But the city was like, yeah, that address doesn't exist.
What?
And we're like – we have decades of proof of it existing up in two. So technically, it's not on one sheet of paper over here.
Wow.
And they're like, you got to talk to this guy. And this guy's over here was like, that's not our department. You got to go talk to this guy.
Oh, yeah. That sounds familiar.
And then we get to that one. And they're like, we're never going to sign that. And then you talk to another department. And they're like, well, they should sign that. Go back on another day and see if you can get so-and-so. Not even kidding. So it's that. And it got so – I got so defeated. Eventually, I was like, yeah, you have to do it. She just went. I didn't.
This is on purpose.
What do you mean it's on purpose?
If the system is built to wear you down.
For stupid shit like this.
It really is.
Because eventually it got to a point where they're like, it's technically a legal gray area. It's one I've never seen. I've worked here for a long time.
Right.
And you're like, oh, my God, what does that mean? So I started thinking, do we need to get a property lawyer to come in and sort this out?
Shit.
And yeah, exactly. It's just more cost on top.
Right.
Even though all he's going to do is officially go, here's 30 years of bills.
Yeah.
You've been taking money. It's a fucking unit. You know it.
Yeah.
Now we got to pay him? How many thousands of dollars just to do that? Jesus. Thankfully, eventually we got the one guy and he was like, oh, yeah. No. Boom. Just put one signature on a piece of paper and we were done.
Shut up.
One signature on a piece of paper. That's it.
You just had to get there. That's what it was. You just had to endure all the crap to get to that one guy.
So,
and they had probably had a meter on it where they were checking all the boxes
that
you did, and then the dude showed up.
If nothing else, God is going bip, bip. Not yet. Not yet. It's like him breaking the key off on the lock and me.
You
got to go
there.
Up another one. Yeah, you got to earn it.
Wrong door, son.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, we went to a party the other night, my girlfriend and I, for a work party for some of her friends over at UCLA. And I sat and talked with this dude who's the husband of the woman we were going there to have the party for.
Sure.
And we sat and just talked because they all know each other from UCLA, so they're having the work talk. I don't know what to talk about with them. So he just kind of came in while I was having a beer, looking out. It's beautiful view over there, and I think it's Marine near El Segundo. So near El Segundo there, and we're looking out of the water, and he sees me, and I'm just like, he goes, "What's going on?" I was like, "This place is absolutely beautiful, and I hope one day to be able to get a place like this for my girlfriend. Like, I want us to have a place like this to relax and enjoy the rest of our lives in a place like this." And he's like, "Oh, well, let me tell you the story." And he went into this whole story because when he bought it, it was a one-level $90,000 place. And they had to – like it was on sale by the owner. The renter of the place would not leave. It was this old woman. She had like – she was a hoarder.
Dude.
And so they had to wait her out. Like they told her, you got to leave, and they had to wait her out for months before she finally left. And then she left all her mess. So then he had to pay – all this shit to clean it out.
Yep.
And then step by step, he built this thing into a three-level castle, in essence, over here. And it's got all these decks, and it's beautiful. Like it's Spanish design with these large columns of wood amongst the cream-colored concrete. Everything is – and it's all circular and shit. But he told me all the deals or all the all he had to endure going to the housing authority for every level that he wanted to build.
Well, in certain areas, though, there's height restrictions, so you can only take it so high. Yeah, especially the closer you get to the coast. Once you get down on the coast, everybody, two stories, the max they're going to give you.
Yeah.
You can't build anything bigger.
Yeah, and so by the end, to build the third level, he had to –
He had to buy another plot of land.
It took 7 years
for
them to get the meeting with the housing commission, and it was $30,000 just to be heard for the proposal.
Dude, welcome. Welcome.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We found another place before we bought this one. I'm glad we didn't buy it. We were on the cusp.
Right? Yeah.
It was in our price range. It had three separate units, whatever else. But the one in the back is the one we would want.
Yeah.
And that tenant has been there long enough. So by LA law, if we want to move that individual out, we have to pay her, and she's been there long enough when hit enough benchmarks, minimum $10,000 just to move out.
Wow. Just to move her out.
Just to move out. We just, boom, default. If you want her out, you can do it as an owner when you come in. I believe you have that right.
Yeah.
Initially, you can't do it down the line like later on. Like there are then limitations too. But if you want to come in, buy everybody out and like rebuild or do whatever you want to at that point, they give you that option. But she'd been there longer. Like, so it would be a minimum to get her 10. That's a 10 grand on top of.
That's mind-blowing.
How ridiculous this place is. It could go higher.
Yeah.
There is a limit to how much they can get, but she's already talking about a minimum 10. I'm like, dude, this house is already – or this little three, you know, thing is already stupid expensive.
Yeah.
Now you're just going to throw it out. 10 grand. I understand her rights. I've been a renter for a long time, but I don't remember ever being afforded that perk. Wherever, you got to kick me out? 10 G's. Like, I've lived in places a long time. Never have. Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
I know we got to get something. She doesn't want to buy a house. She wants to rent a house or something like that. So I think that's where we're moving towards with our next place. Because our upstairs neighbor is out of control, man. We just can't do this anymore.
He's bad news. Every story you got about him is not a good thing.
Now he started to ship out stuff from his place.
He wasn't doing that before?
No, he was like doing it in small amounts. Now it's like bags and sacks of stuff for the mail for the mail to come and get and send out. But he is packing these bags with these two other dudes until midnight on Sunday nights, Monday nights, Thursday nights. And he's running up and down the fucking stairs with these sacks of bags of stuff to send out to his clients. And my girlfriend found his business license online. And
really?
It puts the address at where we're at. So I was looking at our guidelines for our rental agreement and like what you can and can't do. And he has violated four of those things.
I mean, legally, I don't know if he can
run a business out of a residential
apartment.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing that I think
you would have to own the house, I assume.
Yeah.
To legally be run out, you know.
I don't know. And so I think the next step for we're going to reach out to the landlord and two things are going to happen. I'm going to propose that either he lets us break the lease and doesn't charge us a fucking dime and even pays for moving expenses. Or two, he's kicking that fucker out because we didn't rent an apartment in a below a business. That wasn't our intention.
Yeah.
And he came in after us. So yeah. We should have been told and warned.
You're right.
That this person was going to have a business.
It's
going to
take you a while, but you could win that case.
Oh, I'm winning this fucking case.
I know, but be – look, yeah. It's not going to be the first wave. You know what I mean?
Some
soldiers are going to die. In this process.
That's all right.
You're going to have to break some eggs to make this omelet.
Amen.
How many more can I come up with? I don't know. I can keep going. How you doing, video? How you doing? Playing straight to you this time. Suck it, audio. This is just for you watching.
Anyway, enough of our travails.
It is. And also from last week's show,
yeah.
Drew Inns, the message didn't get to us in time to read out his top 10 Scorsese because he was a patron that chose that topic last week.
Yes, he did.
For The Irishman. We were happy to do it, and we thanked him. So we have his list to read off as well at the end of the show.
Cool.
But welcome to everybody that is new to us.
Yeah, welcome. Do you want to do the list now or at the end? Because I feel like it'll be confusing if we do two separate lists, one right after the other.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Don't you think?
That makes sense.
Yeah, let's do the Drew list now.
Okay.
What was the topic again?
And before I forget, for those that want to, you can find us on the Collider Live feed.
Yes.
For a podcast.
That's Collider Live, the feed that Collider Live is on. That's where the podcast is going. And so I assume you found us because you're listening to us.
True.
But if you're watching this on video...
Yeah.
On our feed, or you're one of the patrons, that's where you need to go to.
Yeah, if it happens to pop up there first and you listen to it there, listen to it there.
Yeah.
You know, just listen to the show. That's all we really care about.
That's all we want.
It is. It's just, you know, then we can do the interaction with people on Twitter and we've got our nice Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/the top 10 show, all spelled out. Hit us up over there, the live shows.
Yeah.
You know, we give stuff back on Patreon, and we're just happy you're there.
And for our London fans, we're in negotiation right now, letting you know.
Yeah, them in Houston.
Houston.
We should have an announcement on hopefully the next episode.
Yep.
We'll have a date for you. We'll have a venue, and we're going to probably do two shows if we can swing it.
Two words for you. Leap year. That's all I'm going to say. Leap year. Two words for you. Anyway, what was our list for last week that Drew sent the list? Oh, top 10 Scorsese films.
Scorsese.
So, he suggested the topic. We both shout him out, give him a shout out on Twitter.
Yes.
So let's see what his list is.
All right. So at 10, he's got The King of Comedy.
Makes sense.
Made both of our lists.
Yes.
At 9, Casino.
Okay.
A little low, I think, for our two lists.
Yes.
8 is Gangs of New York.
Okay.
All right. 7 is Wolf of Wall Street.
Nice choice.
Seems a little low.
We didn't have Gangs of New York.
We did not.
So someone came at us on Twitter about it.
That's fine.
And I responded and said, there's two good scenes in that movie and that's it. The opening scene and the scene with Daniel Day-Lewis and Daniel DiCaprio. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio when he wakes up in the bed.
Okay.
That's the only two good scenes.
That is a damn good scene.
Yeah.
I think of the first scene first.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
The first thing that comes to mind.
It's a great scene.
It is. It's a hell of an opening.
I wish the rest of the movie was that good.
I know. 6, he's got Cape Fear.
Okay.
At 5 is Silence.
Oh, interesting. Okay, Drew.
I mean, I like that movie, but I didn't love it.
It's a movie you have to endure. There's a lot of silence.
Yeah, it is. But it's just a lot of slow.
Yeah, it's a lot of slow.
Slow build up to an inevitability that you see coming long before.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this doesn't – he's going to do this. I'm not going to like watching him do that. He's right. I believe he's right.
Right.
And then later on when they – I would love to have spent more time with them after they had kind of resigned themselves to, I can do more good on this will and I can still do God's will.
Yeah.
By helping others, saving others that may just have the religious artifact. Because they're the ones that have to inspect foreign merchants and stuff when they come in. So they let shit slide and whatnot. And they could be of more good in that way, publicly, but privately, you know, my heart hasn't changed, and I haven't changed what I do.
Yeah.
It's just public, so I don't say it aloud, but I can still be like, it had some great themes. It just took forever to get there.
It really took forever. It
took forever. Four is The Departed.
Okay.
Three is Raging Bull.
Nice.
Notice that three. Two is Taxi Driver.
That's what Silence of Five, so.
Doesn't matter.
Over King of Comedy? Come on.
But you know what he does have at number one?
What's that?
Is the one and only Goodfellas.
Oh, that's good.
Which
that's good.
The preponderance of people came out and weighed measured support.
The preponderance of people who bothered to tweet about it.
Put up a poll. We'll put one up on the Top 10 Show's official Twitter feed.
Right, right.
And do one in the Facebook group. You can join us over there. At Top 10 Show on Twitter and then facebook.com/groups/Top 10 Show.
Yeah.
Make your voices heard. We'd like to know. What's your vote?
But unless it's every person voting, it's not the final count. So we don't know. We'll never know. But please vote.
That's cute.
Yeah.
You know, of course. But I think you can. We'd get enough of a sample size.
Sure.
That you could extrapolate from that a likely outcome.
A possible outcome, sure.
A possible, sure.
Sure.
But as percentages start to weigh so heavily in one favor – inevitability is a better descriptor as opposed to possibility.
I suppose so.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a chance I might spontaneously combust right now. It doesn't mean it's a possibility.
Right.
It's like a rare occurrence if you believe in that kind of weirdo shit.
If you're trying to compare Raging Bull to Goodfellas and saying that you spontaneously combusting is equal to Raging Bull coming out as number one, you're insane.
I think,
you're an insane person.
Scales of justice. You see that? That's pretty even keel, my man.
That's pretty good.
It's right there. It does a little number. It's got a salsa kind of feel to it. It's pretty good.
I like it. We use Max Cady's scales of justice on his back. That's a Cape Fear reference. All right. do we want to jump into our lists?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks to Drew for sending his list, and I'm glad we were able to read it out. Sorry we couldn't read it out last week. But, Matt, do you want to tell him how the show works officially?
Yes. So we're doing based on a book. And as we got into this, it's like we really should have split the atom on this.
Oh, yeah. But we will down the road.
We will down the road. So this is a broad.
Very broad.
There's so many choices. It's utterly ridiculous how many good choices there are.
I think this is a good first show for us to have, too, Matt, because it's a broad topic as opposed to something a little more niche. Do you know what I'm saying? We'll get into the niche down the road.
So I took some different liberties. But anyway, the way the show works because it's so broad, I'll get into it. Once we set a topic, we go our individual ways and create personal top 10 lists. Show back up here. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we've revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Because you're messing with it.
Take the space of breath. In the auctioneer, I always take that space of breath right there. And once we've revealed, I go right into it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It can't always be filet,
It's true. It's true.
Sometimes you get a burger.
It's still satisfying. Good. Yeah. Still hits the spot.
But you know what I prefer? I prefer a filet, personally.
Rather right. It's better for you.
Whatever. It just tastes better. That's why I like it. I can't deal with the huge chunks of fat.
In the filet?
In steaks.
Oh, really? So you don't get like a ribeye or a prime rib?
Prime rib I've never enjoyed.
Really?
I've only... most times I've had it, is it like some brunch thing we go out for like, hey, we're going to this nice restaurant for Easter brunch
or something.
And they'll have prime rib. I've had a few times somebody made it at the house.
Mm-hmm.
But every time it's just like, I don't know, the fat to taste ratio seems off for me. I'd rather have – I'll take a New York. I'll take a filet. I'll take a whole bunch of other stuff before I get to that.
She's turned me into a prime rib fan because the fat in the prime rib is what gives it the flavor.
It is all the flavor.
And it is fantastic. It's worth the extra $5 or $10 you're paying, and depending on where you go, maybe $40 where you're paying for your steak, it's worth it to have the fat on it and the prime rib because it does taste infinitely better than a regular steak or filet or a New York strip.
Well, I've never had like Kobe, but I've had
– oof, Kobe beef is good.
Well, they say that there's very little chance any Americans actually had technically Kobe beef.
Oh, like authentic Kobe beef.
The true.
Gotcha.
So there's Wagyu, which is like from the region kind of thing.
Right, right.
It's still all the same edicts and whatnot, but mm-hmm. Kobe is such a very – there's only so many cows that get slaughtered every year.
Right.
So that's some really prime shit. I've seen Kobe burgers at way too many restaurants to believe that shit. And then eventually – I read a couple articles online. Like I found one. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I just do a Google search, see what else I can find.
Yeah.
Just like it seems from this novice's perspective, listening to the internet, There's very little. And I've had a lot, you know, not a lot, but I've had a decent number of Kobe beefs.
Okay.
And I still don't think I've – after reading that, I was like
– right.
I don't think the rest – the restaurant was nice, but I don't know if we're talking top tier, uber select. There's one or two in Los Angeles that actually have it.
Right. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah.
I accept your reasons.
Because there it's going to be ridiculously expensive, and I don't think I'd just buy it.
Makes sense. Hey, it just occurred to me. Can they see? They just see you, right? They don't see
– I think
like,
so.
Can they see – like you see the camera here. Can you see my list in that camera?
I can only see myself.
All right. Then that's all they see.
Yeah.
Cool. So they don't see our lists. All right. Good. I just want to make sure.
I didn't think about that until you said, can they –
yeah, I know. It occurred to me too. And I can't – I can I'll only see the back of – yeah.
Anyway, and I think this might be my first time with a laptop for my list.
Oh.
Well, I have my laptop here already for dimes.
Dropping dimes.
So.
Dizimes.
I was like, oh, shit. Well, I'll do this instead. I couldn't find a pad of paper either. They were down in the downstairs unit.
That's all right.
I had extras, but I didn't.
You could ask that. I'm sure we've got a notebook here somewhere, a collider.
I know. But.
No, I like this. This is cool.
I normally like to have the tactile. It's easier to.
Yeah, you're a big fan of that.
I am.
Oh.
The written word.
Damn it. I forgot the damn bongos.
That's all right. You can do the dash out and only the video will be able to see John scurry out of the room. Occasionally I've gone to get it, but most times it's his desk.
Yeah, it's true.
It feels weird every time, even though it's just right there.
It is. But, always just accessible.
All right, you ready to jump in?
Yeah, let's do this. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, so many choices.
So many choices. Remember, movies based on a book.
Typed out just single line, I have over a page and a half of choices.
Oh, yeah, at least.
A page and a half. Yeah. So it's like, okay, at this point, this is ridiculous. It is.
Yeah.
Because it's so big. So I'm just going to do – there's some no-brainers to me, and then there's a whole bunch of I love this movie just as much as this movie, just as much as this one.
Right.
But because I already have one movie kind of like this one, I'm going to talk about this one instead.
Okay.
Tried to have a little bit more variance, a little bit in my list.
I eliminated short
– Me too. Novellas are
out. All novellas
short
are out.
Short stories out.
All Shakespeare stuff is out for me.
If it's loosely based on, I tried to exclude those. I tried to go based on – you know, because there's some – there's one in particular, and I was like, yeah, but I remember when that came out, they're like, well, it was inspired by is probably better.
Okay.
Like, it gave you the bare bone structure of one, and then you filled in all the rest, and that's fine. It's one of the best movies I've seen in the past decade.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow.
Or it might be. Okay.
You got a current one. All right, respect.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So at 10, I'm just – so dancing around.
Okay.
Wherever we're at. In the list, if you want to do this, at 10, I have Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, what book is that based on?
Caging Skies.
Interesting. I never heard of it. Okay.
Well, it didn't have – okay, so how long do you want to talk about it? Because it is a new movie, so we can do a spoiler and then figure out the time codes. Because somebody – we have people to help us with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. If you want to talk about it, that's fine with me.
All right. So we'll say 5-minute timer?
Sure.
Okay. 5-minute timer starting now.
Boom.
All right, so I chose it because if people were on the fence, I think this is entirely worth seeing in a theater.
Yep.
It's really good. It made me, at first, I'm laughing and I'm also uncomfortable because are you trying to humanize Nazis to me?
It's the first 10 minutes of the movie and you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
I have the ethical question within myself. Should I be laughing at this caricature of Hitler before it's revealed to me that it's his imaginary friend?
Right.
Because I've only seen one trailer ever. I've tuned everything else out. I did the same with Parasite. I've done the same. About to see Lighthouse. I've done the same with that. Like, I don't want to know shit.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about Parasite. It was great.
Yeah, Parasite's fantastic.
We're not here to talk about
that. Nope.
But Taika Waititi he just steals every scene so effortlessly. It's great. And the little kid is amazing.
Yep.
And in retrospect, like when the girl comes out from hiding and she initially so viciously attacks him, you understand it, but you need to feel more of her.
Mm-hmm.
More of the understanding of why someone feels like a cornered, you know, like a rat in a cage in essence, and knowing that people are coming to see them lash out of like, this is my only chance at hope. A lot of great acting.
Mm-hmm. All across the board.
Yeah.
I thought Scarlett Johansson, some of the best work she's ever done.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking in her performance. Yeah, the shoe. Oh, my God.
Just noticing because they kept focusing. Yep. They didn't make it a thing. Like, can't tie your shoes. And then the shoes and you're like. When she makes him look, that is a beautifully poignant. I hope if I was a parent, I would do the same.
Yeah.
You need to see the cost of this.
Right.
I know
the real
you're
human cost of this.
I know you're 10, but unfortunately, this is happening and you can't be blind to it.
Yeah.
She's still trying to shelter him, but if we're out and you unfortunately have to see it, you need to see this.
Yeah.
This isn't this glamorous thing that you are out fervently. You know, when his imaginary friend gets him so jazzed, and that's when you realize, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's comedic. I understand. Yeah. They're back and forth sometimes when he's in the bed and he thinks they're fighting, Hitler is.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
He's all moody and stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I was just keeping it warm for you. That's what best friends do. It's like, oh, dude, you're killing me. The character was so good. Running next to him.
Yeah.
When he has the grenade, this big, huge triumphant moment.
The slow motion thing. That was great.
Sam Rockwell kills it. Alfie Allen kills it.
Yeah, Alfie Allen's great too. Yeah, and Rebel Wilson's good too. I thought she was funny.
She's to me, Barenthal, she has one gear. And I've never found that gear funny.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's nothing against her. I know she's good at it.
I can respect
that. But it's never hit me.
Right.
She's just like, that's the one fucking gear you got. But it works for 99% of other people.
True.
I got nothing against her. She's got all the talent in the world.
Yeah, Thomasin McKenzie is fantastic. The girl who plays the Jewish girl in the
yeah, she's great.
She's we saw her in
2 minutes.
Okay, we saw her in that film with Ben Foster where she's the daughter.
That's her. Where they're out. He's a war veteran.
Yeah, left behind.
No place. It's like a longer one.
Yeah.
Leave no trace.
Leave no trace. Right. Exactly. One extra word.
Hence why I'm not in the Schmodown anymore.
Hey, look, you got it before I did.
I can get it, but it just like it seems like priority 12 to my brain at this point, even though I'm trying to force it up to priority 1. Hey, go. I need this right now.
I'm on 5.5, and I couldn't come up with Patty Jenkins earlier on Rumor Mill. Could not come up with her name to save my life. Would have lost a Schmodown if I had had that question at that time. So anyway, overall, I love the film. I thought it was very funny. And a lot of people are saying, oh, this could be Best Picture. I'd be very surprised if they let it win Best Picture. I think they'll nominate it. But I don't think it has that extra oomph as a Nazi movie and obviously a Jewish movie as well to get over the line to win Best Picture. But then again, you never know. I didn't think Green Book had any shot at all, and that thing won. So you just never know. Maybe this is kind of a safe,
happy but Green Book was meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
And this is
well, that's why I didn't think it was going to win. Yeah. I thought it was so simple, I didn't think it was going
to
win.
Perhaps the other choices to the average individual were just so aberrant.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? Meat and potatoes. This is a meat and potatoes year for me.
Yeah, right now for me, it's JoJo, Parasite, Joker, and maybe Endgame so far. And I throw Last Black Man in San Francisco, but I know no one's going to vote for that, even though they should.
Well, I still need to see Lighthouse. Mm. JoJo, to me, is the most starkly interesting.
I wouldn't disagree.
Because the balls to invent Hitler as a comedic sidekick.
Yeah.
But he is the manifestation of everything this kid thinks he wants in the world.
Right. And you think to yourself, what if I was a 10-year-old kid in Germany? Wouldn't I have these thoughts sometimes?
Because
there's got to be somebody who did.
Look, you know, Goebbels' propaganda machine was so good with adults. You don't think it just crushed with little kids?
Yeah, right.
There we are. We're done.
Okay.
Right on that.
There we go. But, what's your number 9?
My number 9 for me as I wake my computer back up is Das Boot.
Oh, good choice, man. All right. I know you love that movie.
It came down to 2 submarine movies. And I was like, I mean, technically this one, I've watched the other one way more.
Right.
But this one to me is more like, this is all the gravity to me of being in a submarine.
Yeah. It's got the prestige to it.
Well, it's illustrative of a life that I would never lead.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
So this gives me a glimpse behind the curtain of something I will never do. That's why I like sub movies. I'm sure it's on some level why you like sub movies.
Yeah.
I will never be down, you know, staring Davy Jones' locker in the face. What is that like on your fucking tube of steel that is pressurized? You know, we don't know shit about the ocean, really.
Yeah.
We can only go down so deep and so large a vessel, otherwise just crushing depth of all this weight of water just piling down on you.
Yeah. And you're constantly hearing that.
Yeah.
Of
at least
yourself.
In space, I can lie to myself and be like, well, there's no added force. Maybe I'll live longer.
Yeah.
This is, dude, if you went outside right now, you would instantly die. Instantly die. There is no, like, in space, you can float around for a little while, maybe be, crushed.
Yeah.
So Das Boot is that. And now you have people actively trying to blow you up.
Yeah, right. That's not enough.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine how constrained assholes are on that ship?
Oh, my God. Yeah, right.
It's either that or they're way too loose. There is no somebody. Yeah. There's nobody that's regular like on a, You know, I go every day at 2.
It's whistling in. Whistling in to punch the clock.
Where's my magazine? Yeah, that's true. It's just like
a— Where's my issue of the Third Reich? Bring it on in here.
Oh, just painful. Veins are popping. Oh, man. The worst.
Why is Hans so loose? Why is Hans so goddamn loose? We're all so fucking tight-lipped. Our assholes are puckered up here, but he's so loose. Yeah, all right. So two Nazi movies back-to-back, and I respect that. Jürgen Prochnow, now, fantastic in that movie. Yeah. We've talked about it in depth. We love it to pieces, so it's a good choice. What's your number 8?
You're going to love this. Because you guess what? It's called the Nazi Trifecta.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going with Schindler's List.
Oh, okay. Good choice. I had a feeling it was coming somewhere on your list.
Well, look, there's so many. Honestly, that one was a tie with another one.
Okay.
Because, you know, Das, JoJo, I want to tell people about if you haven't seen.
Right.
Das is like, sub-movie is obviously going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But Schindler's List, still emotionally impactful to this day.
Yep.
There's a reason that you could make a million movies about this war.
Yeah. And about this situation.
Yes.
Right?
And it'd still be so resonant over and over and over again.
Because there are so many different stories to tell.
Well, and we have such a good record of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we had records like this of other wars, you know, think about the next one. If one, you know, ever breaks out in this country, the amount of coverage that people are going to be able to do on their own.
Yeah.
We're going to know every angle of it.
That's true.
Whereas before, you have to kind of like recreate through, you know, official edicts and people writing letters to each other and shit like that and get the lay of the land. We're like, yeah, this is what they're saying in public, though.
Yeah.
Like, what was actually going on?
Yeah, the film's fantastic. Obviously, black and white. Spielberg won the Oscar for this thing, the red coat girl. But I think what I always come back to, though, is that Schindler is not your typical kind of hero. I think over and over again, that's what makes me like the film, because he's a man full of flaws, cheats on his wife, lies about his business, you know, and those skills come in handy, not necessarily cheating on his wife, but the ability to be deceptive, right to people's face. It comes in handy when he's doing what he's doing to save all the Jews that he's trying to save from the Holocaust and under Ray Fiennes' nose and that. And so to me, he's not a guy you necessarily would normally cheer for, but it's his charm and his decision and his heart that you kind of go with.
Well, I mean, in essence, you know, he's a car salesman.
Yeah.
Until he finds the thing that starts to work for him and then realizes that he's not really that person at all.
Right.
That's why he couldn't succeed at it before.
Yeah.
You know, just a fucking a war profiteer. Yeah, it's a complex movie.
Yeah.
And especially from Spielberg. Like something that hits this close to home and you can still render this masterpiece. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine what you went through trying to – fuck, my grandparents may have – you know, just having those thoughts.
Yeah.
What cousin do I have that had to go through? And you hear the nuts – because – you know, fucking IBM supplied the computers that helped them become so efficient at shipping all the people and all that stuff. So we were complicit in a decent amount of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's so disgusting over and over. That's why we know so much about it. It's like, dude, we had computational power figuring out aspects of it. It's just ridiculous.
Why do you think that we're okay doing 500 films about the Holocaust, but people are like, oh, it's too many films about slavery? Like, I'm always confused about that. Is it because it didn't happen in our country that we're like, oh, it's fine. I don't mind seeing 500 films about the Holocaust. But if you do another slavery film or another film about slaves, I just can't take it. Or, you know, what white people did to black people back in the I'm always blown away by that.
Because war is two-sided and slavery is one.
Okay.
So at least there's – even if you know you're going to lose, you could go out like glory. We'll go out in a blaze of glory. You know what I mean? There's at least something – of merit. That's why I'm curious if this Tubman, the Harriet Tubman movie, is going to be any good and if it does well.
It's got good reviews, but I also know it's like, at least the way it was described to me is that she has narcolepsy, and narcolepsy is kind of like her superpower. So I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I'm just, and once again, I'm getting this from a couple of people who've seen it already.
Is that true?
Yeah. No, I don't. That's true, but it might be true about the movie. I don't know if it's true about Harriet Tubman.
Okay.
So,
but they're saying within the movie they use – the character has narcolepsy.
Which is kind of treated like a superpower, which is why she's able to do what she's able to do. So I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it. But that's what I've heard, right?
So what? She's running and then all of a sudden just naps out and then everybody runs past her and then wakes up and then
– I think it's more a matter that she can nap out quickly and doesn't need 8 hours of sleep so she can do more work.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That so kind she's of like a giraffe, and they supposedly only sleep like 10 or 15 minutes a day.
Right.
Something ridiculous.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense. Although that would make all the sense in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something that makes the least amount of sense. We're like, well, actually in giraffes because of X, Y, and Z. Don't they have a second heart because of the
– oh, maybe.
The how far it would be too hard to pump the blood all the way up from the chest cavity to the head. So they have to have something like
– oh, you know, maybe.
Pumping the signal at some point.
That's possible. I just recently watched last night a documentary on Imelda Marcos called The Kingmaker. Okay. It's a really good documentary. I interviewed the director today for The Deep Cut, but she
– nice little plug. No, you worked that in. Dude, that's – guys, today. That's why he is one of the best in the business. That was so good. You're good at that, man.
Lauren Greenfield. Anyway, she
– anyway, at the Roka says to find all about.
She – in the movie, they talk about this sequence – or they talk about this thing that Imelda did when she was in charge of the Philippines. Okay. She had like 540 animals from Africa brought in, and she cleared out all these families so she could have, the, in essence, her own wildlife preserve there in the Philippines, because she thought it should be cool for these animals to exist. The problem was that they didn't know how to take care of these, like they didn't know the caretaking these. So what one of the people were saying was that the animals were inbreeding. So you were having sons sleeping with mothers and because they're animals. And so you were having these defects happen to these next generations of animals that had come there. And it was a fact, like the giraffe's necks were getting shorter because of that. And
how long did it go on
it
for?
It's still there. They're still there.
How much? That's crazy.
They had monkeys and giraffes and like zebras and all these different things. And so they were talking about how the animals started inbreeding because the animal doesn't know. Well, it just bangs whatever.
Escobar bringing hippos down into Colombia.
Right.
And eventually just kind of was like, yeah, they live on a property. Now they have a couple, you know, some wild hippos.
Right.
And I don't know if you know anything, but I believe hippos kill more humans on the continent of Africa than any other animal.
Yeah.
Because they're so fucking territorial, and that jaw can snap a watermelon like it's nothing, at least the tame ones at the zoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How come we haven't done a hippos horror movie?
What do you got? What do you – are you got Tusk? What else you got?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's why.
I think you can do a hippo horror movie. If you can do Crawl with the gator.
How are you going to do a hippo? Like legitimately. Because ultimately the character has to live on land. So this hippo is just too upright, just walking around like – or just chilling out of the water. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe.
We're just constantly on a boat. We don't think, you know what? We need to get the fuck away from water because the hippo will – it's not like he's going to come 100 miles inland. So why don't I just go 100 miles?
That's what I'm talking about. Maybe the hippo can do that. It's like a scientifically altered hippo.
So it's like a where there are flood waters and it backs up like a freshwater or something, whatnot, and a shark gets into a Gulf fucking lake or something. You know, you see that down south in Louisiana and Florida and whatnot. They just had a bunch of flooding and then a bull shark gets into an area it shouldn't.
Holy shit!
Bull shark's nothing to mess with.
No, I know it is. Yeah.
And a tiger shark. I like that they had to like make levels for a shark. You
know
what I mean?
Right, yeah. The hammerhead.
You know, hammerhead makes sense.
Okay. Because of the looks.
Hank's just got a fucking hammer for a head.
Fair enough.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Was it Thresher? Thresher shark or whatever? Thresher?
Could be. There's Mako, great white.
Mako, right.
Whale. Nurse.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Tiger.
There's
like
that
you said.
Seven Guild one. It's like prehistoric.
Oh, yeah. That one too.
This is interesting for people as we go through. What sharks you got? It's our new show.
You wanted us on camera.
It's for Patreon only. What sharks you got? That comes out on Fridays.
That's a new show for the top 10. What shark you got?
Oh, I would love it, dude. I'd show up in a shitty blazer. I'll gladly host this one. I would just put on a fake mustache and I'll play straight to that camera. You're my contestant every week.
That's perfect.
And we just do it.
I should come in dressed as a different shark every week.
Are you Jabberjaw this week? Beautiful. Oh, let me guess. Jack Black character in Shark Tale. What was that guy's name? I don't remember.
Hammerhead. anyway, all right, let's move on.
My next one?
I don't know.
No, that was my trifecta of Nazis.
So my number 10 is Casino Royale.
Okay.
Yeah.
On my page and a half of choices.
Yeah, I really like this movie. I keep going back to this movie, and It is the movie that made me fall back in love with Bond. As good as the...
Without a doubt.
Right? As good as the...
Pierce Brosnans were.
Okay. I like the Pierce Brosnans.
Go back and watch them again, man. It's so, there's so much cheese.
There is. And that's what I'm saying. Like, those were... That was a certain level of Bond that you expected, right? Same thing with the Roger Moore ones, the Sean Connery ones to a degree
Roger
as well.
Roger Moore could still give you a legitimate... Like, the one with Chris Walken... is ridiculous with the horses and whatnot, but it's not Moonraker. It's not you know, other ones where they're just going for like these big sets and comedy pieces. And,
well, Moonraker's Roger Moore.
So. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He has those moments of like, no, I don't like this. Maybe in the moment. Like, this came out more than likely at the height of Steve Martin's comedic fame. You know what I mean?
So
the unironic became ironic, like just the, over the top, over the, mallet on the head fucking jokes. But just Steve Martin is an anomaly, you know?
Yeah. I've never liked any of the Bond films except for Goldfinger from the Connery era because I thought they were all so cheesy. But Goldfinger is another level for me.
I like a – Goldfinger's great.
Yeah.
I like a bunch of the Sean Connerys. But there is – well, I mean, look, it wasn't what it became. Daniel Craig finally took it to a place where – that's where I always felt the character should be.
Right. And that's why I like Casino Royale because it took Bond to the to really a level it had never been to before and kind of got you into this idea of this is what Bond actually is. And a lot of people who were Ian Fleming fans said this is what he was intending for his Bond to be in the books that he wrote, including Casino Royale, which is what this is based on. This idea of this brutal – out of nowhere agent with a murky past, a gift with the ladies, dedicated to his country and willing to do whatever to get there.
The huevos getting knocked from underneath is in the book.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, that's in the book. Because I had heard at some point that in his day he got criticism for being a sadomasochist because he put Bond through stuff like that.
Right, right.
And
but that's what
kind of I mean, I get, look, that's a valid question in that it has popped up. I've never read the books. I just know that offhandedly over the years, picking up information here and there.
Right, right.
It's always been a movie franchise for me. And it was weird to me once I found out. I was like, oh, really? Like I was still a kid because it's just, oh, there's 15 of those movies and I'm just getting into movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, crazy books. All right. Well, I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to watch the movies because I'm a kid.
The movies are better.
Yeah. I read books as a kid, but I was just like, if I got the movie, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. As good as – and I think Skyfall is my favorite, obviously, but this is the one that like kind of woke us back up to what the Bond character could be. Great work all around from everybody in the film. Jeffrey Wright is hilarious. Ava Green is great as well as Vesper Lynd. Getting a little bit of M with Judi Dench, a little bit there with her. That reconnection that connection rather for the first time of that
like
new
that,
Bond.
That choice.
All of it.
She carries all the weight of being M.
Yeah.
It's a great casting. Q. I like the take on Q.
Yep. Yep.
I've seen that guy. That guy was in a very English Scandal or whatever.
Ben Whishaw.
There you go.
Yeah. And the new stuff and the way it's progressed since then, I've just really enjoyed it. So this is the one that I come back to all the time because I really
love. That's where we get Naomi Harris from.
Yeah, Naomi Harris and Miss Moneypenny. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My number nine is an old school epic, Ben-Hur.
Okay.
It's based on a book by General Lew Wallace, and he wrote it.
Which is based on a book.
Oh, called the Bible.
Called the Bible.
Hey-o.
Which is based on a based on. It's a very niche. We should do a based on a based on.
Oh, that'd be perfect. I don't know.
We'll get there eventually.
10. But yeah, this one, I mean, I love this movie to pieces. It's one I watch every Easter, and whenever it's on TV, I love it and watch it. And I just, there's something about this is the greatest biblical epic, in my opinion, ever made, even though the story is not in the Bible. And that, it just feels like a biblical epic, obviously, because Jesus Christ is involved in it too, in a peripheral way, but enough so that he's still a very powerful character in the movie.
As he would have existed for the majority of people that lived in that day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So he would have been someone you may have heard about, but if you weren't a part of what he was doing, then it was just a guy you heard about.
Yeah.
Still pop up, intersect with, depending on where you're at.
Yeah. And I love what you got with Charlton Heston. Is so good in this movie. And it's some of his best acting work, in my opinion. And I know people make fun of, like, doing this kind of thing. But in this film, it really works. He has a good, good villain to play off of in Masala. I think Stephen Boyd is the actor's name. But back and forth they go throughout the whole film. And And then, you know, what happens to his mom, what happens to his sister, all of it, just really, and it's incredibly well directed by William Wyler. So to me, overall, this is just one of those epic films that still endures, still endures when, at a time when, and you know, we had The Irishman coming out 3.5 hours, and Avengers Endgame is 3 hours. So we have had a palette for, or a, I don't know, a, we've been okay with 3 hour movies in the past.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of, can you earn the 3 hours? And I think this still does.
For me, it's always been, I think we could trim something somewhere, because, you know, the heart of the story overall is super engaging. And yes, I like the portrayals they're giving, and especially the finding out later there might have been some innuendo. Yes. Go back and rewatch. And it's like, oh, that's really interesting. Was that Gore Vidal?
Yeah, Gore Vidal. Who said there might be a bit of homosexuality between
the two characters? Then you go back and ask, "What is it? Do you like oysters or snails?"
Yeah,
and it's like, "Oh, that's super interesting." There's just some other maybe.
I think the writer said too that they kind of slid that in there as a subtext.
Everyone else knew except for Heston.
Yeah, who claimed to his deathbed that it was not that at all.
He can claim it. True. The rest of us can see the fingerprint for what it clearly is.
Hey-o. All right. My number eight is Fight Club.
Okay. Another tough.
Yeah.
There's so many choices.
Of course. Of course. I came down to like, which is the ones that when I read it, I know it belongs on my list. And Fight Club was certainly that. I didn't know where it belonged on my list.
Okay.
But as soon as I saw the title, that's how I made this list. I was like, if I look at the title and I feel 100% of my bones that it belongs on the list, it belongs on the list. I don't know where to put it, but it belongs on the list.
I have really a top 17.
Yeah.
That's where I started.
That's fair.
I cut down to 17. I was like, these are all legitimate. They should be on this list. Mm-hmm. And that's where I actually started when cutting down my page and a half.
Yeah.
I just put check marks next to as I'm just reading down, not caring how many I get to, and just get to the end. I count it up. It's like 17. It's like, fuck this list. Because there's no right answer.
No, there isn't.
I have 17.
It's all your taste. It's all your taste.
It is. It really is. And Fight Club is, you know, it comes up every once and again because it's such a unique, interesting. It's amazing they came in with this idea and pulled it off so beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. And it still holds up. And I think it's themes about male toxicity and how men and women interact in situations, and also this idea of leading a movement and mental illness. All of it are in here, you know. And we're talking about this, what, in early 2000s, late 90s? Like, it's that. Edward Norton, I just listened to his interview with Bill Simmons.
I listened to it.
Great interview. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he talked about how this film was so much more of a bomb than Rounders was because of how much money they'd put into
the hype and the lead up to it. And just like, here's two guys on their ascension and this really cool, interesting project.
Exactly. And Brad Pitt said to him after the screening, he said, you know, this is
a great line.
This is the greatest film we're ever going to be a part of. We're never going to be better than this.
Oh, I thought it was this is one of the best films we'll ever be a part of.
Yeah, that's it. It's one of the best films we'll ever be a part of.
Just in the back, they're young and just seeing it and going, that was great.
There's so much about it that I watch every couple of years, and I take so much more out of it every single time I watch it. And that, I've always said this, that's a mark of a great film, is that it stays with you and teaches you something or resonates with you in a different way depending on where you are as you get older in life.
And it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know if you ever came to it, but eventually I tried to read some Chomsky, and I tried to read some, you know, socialist and Marxist idealist and whatnot, and just to get an understanding of what the debate was based on. Why did the belief exist like that? And you see just blatant capitalism if it runs amok, and you read that in Chomsky, so then you watch something like Fight Club and you go, you can't look at it through a purely commercialistic state at all times and understand motivations like that. It sucks that you can boil down the essence of humanity to greed, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
There's nothing that clarifies or cuts through like greed does, unfortunately.
And it manifests itself like when he's going through his apartment and cataloging my perfect couch, and that was $1,200 and it was called this. Like he's going through the magazine and whatnot, filling a lack of identity and self with the things that you buy. Somehow those complete you on some level. I'm glad I left that shit behind a long time ago. Like, I don't need shit.
Okay.
I don't want to just accumulate shit for the sake of accumulating. If I like something, I will buy it.
You're right.
But it just if I can enjoy it in the moment, that's fine. I move on type of thing because I don't know.
That's one of the things I enjoy about moving is it's a
cleansing.
Yeah, it's a cleansing. You're taking stock of what you need and what you don't need.
Yeah, I'm actually using, what I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. And so since we've moved into the new place, obviously I had a cleansing before we moved in. Mm-hmm. I had another one just recently where I took out like 4 bags of stuff again. Yeah. And I've bought new like small like IKEA furniture of $30-$40, but so I can organize what I've got left. Mm-hmm. And if it's organized, then to me I feel like okay, if it's organized, it has found its place. But I know there's 3 bins in this closet in my office that I'm going to have to go through again and create another bag and just toss out because it's a slow cleansing, right? And I like that. And it is, it's this attachment to things, holding on to things and whatever. Hopefully with the
– You do. You sometimes create – it reminds you of a very specific moment and that moment is worth moving that thing again to you.
Yeah.
But eventually you just get to the point of like I just need to remember the moment.
Yeah. Of why I had it. Yeah.
Yeah. Of why I had this. Some of them you can. It's just like it means too much.
Right.
But a lot of them just like I can remember it without this anymore.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. Anyway, David Fincher, fantastic job directing this movie. Great stuff between both of them.
It's awesome.
Helena Bonham Carter, so good. So all right. What's your number 7?
My number 7, this is where it's – what are you going to do, Jaws?
It's my number 6. Nice. At least we got one in there. Who knows if we got any
Been a while since we high-fived. That's only for you watching right out there. Two old guys stretching so they don't pull something in their back.
Ouch.
Boom.
There it is. yeah. This is great. Peter Benchley.
It's amazing because it's – A, it created the modern tentpole.
Yes.
So you have to give it all due respect to that. And you hear that in a lot of movies that of that ilk, they don't hold up over time.
Yeah.
And this one is just – it's never not going to – the build is so just steady pacing. It's just like the shark. It's coming. It's inevitable and you're going to see it long before it gets there and there's nothing you can do about it. And just like, oh, fuck that, man. That's why the ocean is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why a shark would have a specific vendetta against you – I don't know. I don't know. But it could happen.
Sure.
You know, out of all the things that possibly could happen, that one's, you know, hypothetically likely.
Yeah.
Or whatever. There's a chance. And to see it, I mean, I'll be damned if it didn't scare numerous generations and potentially could still scar generations.
Oh, yeah.
But that initial one, I'm glad I didn't live through that of being a kid and – because even when I was an adult, it came up – I told you this once. So I used to be on swim teams and stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime, I lived in West Virginia, so we had to go to the YMCA because they had the only indoor pool. So we'd go swimming just kind of for fun in the off-season type of thing.
Right.
But in the deep end where they had the 2 diving boards inside, the high dive and the whatever, the low dive, but it's a little higher than a low dive standard type of thing, they just painted a black great white shark. In the other end, and it was probably like 7 feet by 3 feet, so you could see it when you're 15, 20 feet away and it still looked big, but it's just a black silhouette. It's not like they did outlines, it looks realistic, whatever, and I see that and every time I'd be like, there could be a shark that lives down there. There could be, because I'd already seen that movie and I was like 7 or 8, and it's just like, I know there's not, but at the same time, I don't like, so occasionally I just swim like right to the edge, and then it's like, I don't feel like swimming all the way in front of that thing. I swear to God.
Yeah, I mean, like, when this thing came out, we had seen movies before. I think the movie going public, rather, had seen movies before in previous decades, you know, concerning the water and things that are in the water, blah, blah, blah. But this was like
– this is so above and beyond.
Yeah, this is like next level because it felt so real.
Yeah, there's no lagoon in the fucking title. You know, Neptune is not rising up. It's fine.
This is not a big, octopus or squid or whatever.
Yeah. It's not 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea where technically we didn't know the giant squid existed.
Right.
It was only lore, but now we found evidence of it.
Right, right.
But this is legitimate. And the nice thing is, as you get older, like the USS Indianapolis, I didn't know the significance of that until I was older and watching it again and finding out about the story. And you're like, oh, my God. And you start thinking about that as you read accounts. And that's brutal.
Right.
So this movie works on an even better level than you understand Quint more.
Yeah.
Why his motivation is, why he's so fatalistic.
Yeah.
She's like, okay.
Well, it's the three versions of men, isn't it? You have the intellectual in Dreyfus. You have the more brutal male, old school male.
With Scheider, the marriage of
and
the
Scheider
two.
And is the marriage of the two. Scheider is the middle ground, right? The man you want. He's able to step up and do what needs to be done, but he's also cerebral in how he approaches things. You know, if Quint doesn't destroy the radio, they call in and they're fine. None of them die. Sure. Quint doesn't die. But Quint hitting the thing stops any other aid from coming to help them or them coming closer to shore, and him running the engine on purpose to break it so that he could have this final confrontation with the shark.
Exactly. He can have his showdown.
That's what he wants, the self-destructive asshole.
Man versus nature. Guess who wins?
Every single fucking time.
Not every once in a game. Look, there are huntsmen with trophy rooms across the world.
Well,
we can still win.
That's a separate conversation.
Exactly. But if we
you're surprising the thing.
By their rules, if we didn't cheat,
yes,
they would win every time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But guess what, motherfucker? Opposable thumbs. So until you get that.
Suck at animals.
Exactly. And some more wrinkles in your brain so you have a little bit higher intelligence. Go talk to the dolphins. You're going to lose when we come prepared.
Don't stop banging your moms. What can I tell you?
Whatever you're doing. Guess what? We're winning and you're not. Hashtag Tiger Blood. Let's bring it back.
Let's do it. All right. That was my seven.
That was your six.
Mm-hmm.
My six is Die Hard.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that until doing this on this list. And I was like, oh, that's based on a book. Oh, a book that came out like 14 years before.
Yep.
Called Nothing Lasts Forever.
Nothing Lasts Forever, yeah. When we covered it on the Cinephiles, I had no idea, too, until Steve mentioned. I was like, what? It's based on a book. And then wow.
Never come up in a million years. Yep. And then going through this, so I found, man, when you go onto Wikipedia and look for.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just based on a book. There's an entire section for civics books. Civics.
Oh, interesting.
But they do it by whatever. You can see once you get in because there's a lot of cross-pollination. The civics also comes up on this nonfiction list.
Oh, right.
So you're going through. But I went through a list of
that makes sense.
A to Z, all fiction. And then they have biographies and this and this. And then I went on over here and you're finding out all kinds of information. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or I always knew this was based on a book. And then you start reading about it and be like, it's a loose spacing. And I'm like, not making my list. You're not part of the 17. There's too many good ones.
Yep.
Yeah, you're awesome, but I'm sorry. It's not going to work for me. So Die Hard, I was like, well, come on. Who doesn't? One of the best action movies.
Can't deny.
It's one
of
the best.
If not the best.
It's in the argument.
Certainly in the argument.
I don't know how you can legitimately say this is the best action movie of all time.
Wow. We've never done that.
Because it's impossible.
Top 10 action movies.
It's like saying what's the best comedy of all time. That is so subjective.
Seems pretty easy to me. Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to choose?
I don't know. It's subjective. You're right.
It's so utterly subjective. It's because of this, and this, and this. And it could be the age you saw it, or it could be just like, dude, this one punchline, that's the best punchline I've ever heard in a movie.
For whatever reason, it works for you.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Much like Jojo Rabbit, you guys should go see that.
Nice.
But so Die Hard, I don't know what we say about Die Hard at this point that we haven't said and thousands of other have said.
Do you think they'll ever – there's so much rumors, you think?
Like him prequel? Bring back or
– the rumors about a prequel, which makes no fucking sense to me.
Nah, just start over.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, right. Just reboot it.
Yeah.
Because a prequel implies that John McClane has been in this – McClane has been in the situation before. But John McClane had never been in the situation before. That's what made this such an interesting movie. Now, you could make it a prequel and then he's exploring cases and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But him and the Nakatomi Plaza, that is like what's the joy of it is that he is negotiating it as it's going along because he has no idea how to get through this, but he figures it out.
A regular guy.
Yeah. He's a regular dude.
A regular – he's a cop and he's a good cop, but he's getting divorced from his wife like the other – the stress of the job is destroying his personal life.
Exactly.
So this is kind of all he's got. But he's just kind of started to carry that.
Yep.
So it hasn't been sunk in like years of I'm married to the job now.
Yeah.
This is kind of fresh and he's still hoping to salvage his marriage. But it's funny. It's awesome.
It's a fantastic
movie. It's Die Hard. Yeah, what are you going to say? What do you got? What do you got at seven?
Seven is The Social Network.
Oh, that's based on a book?
Yeah.
I didn't see that on any list.
It's called The Billionaires. Oh, sorry. It's
totally good. I don't see why it wouldn't
be. It's my bad. I should have wrote it down. Let's see, The Social Network book.
What do you got, John Rocha? You got on that movie call?
It's called The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal by Ben Mezrich. And this came out in 2010. It even has the same kind of design to match The Social Network. So,
well, I wonder if that was the original printing or the second printing.
Oh, good question. Good question. Maybe it wasn't. But either way, it was based on a book. So that's all I need to qualify. And for me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, this is based on a book. Done.
I can't believe I missed it.
This one keeps elevating for me in my estimation the more I see it.
And the weirder we see Zuckerberg get?
Yes. Certainly over the last year and certainly the last couple of weeks, like seeing his responses to things, seeing his approach, that you start to see Michael Cera creeping through. I'm sorry, Jesse Eisenberg creeping through in his performance, you know. And Zuckerberg, after the movie came out, of course, denied a lot of things. That the only thing they got right was the clothes or something like that.
Of course.
But as you see him battle with Congress and battle these things about these ads, you're like, oh, no, that's that dick. That's that dick I saw in the movie. That's that dick that was doing shit and screwing over the two brothers, the Winklevoss twins. That's that dick who's in the conference room. Now, I'm sure, I don't know if any of those events happened, but it feels like that's that dick.
He's also the guy that saw the gold mine for the gold.
Sure. Absolutely.
And everybody else was like, well, I came up with the idea, and be like, you came up with a name.
Right.
Like, that's,
or a concept.
Yeah.
I put it in motion.
Vague concept.
Right.
I'm the one that created the world where that idea could exist. And you, it's not like it was unique to you. Yeah. There were other social networking platforms got it going on.
Yeah.
Yours was just closest, and I hadn't thought about it yet, and it sparked the idea in my head.
Yeah. To me, it's very similar to the Kardashians, right? Because, like, the Kardashians are built off a sex tape. Zuckerberg built Facebook off of is she hot or is she not? Which is a sexist approach to women that is fun for a college kid, of course. You know, you're still figuring things out. And it's just as seedy in a different way to me. It's just as like, I don't know, base, but was able to build an empire off of that.
Yeah.
Because that was the first attempt at it. And then he branched it out to be more than just that. But that was the initial start. And so it wasn't this like noble beginning of wanting to communicate and connect people and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No, it was made to judge women's looks for these dudes at a college. And then it became what it became. So I think that's what's – when I watch the movie, that's what I enjoy about it. And I think Sorkin's dialogue is absolutely incredible.
It is. And the rat-a-tat is just – it works so beautifully within this movie.
Exactly.
It's tough to pull Sorkin off.
Yeah. Yeah.
West Wing and this are my two favorite, I think, examples.
I think this is his best written film. I would agree West Wing is my favorite of his writing.
Well, because that rat-a-tat is – it's a weird world to exist in to have a discourse with another person.
Yeah.
And I only believe that in a couple situations or – Eisenberg is like that.
Right.
So the world around him conforms to him because he's the one that's driving that ship.
Yeah.
Whereas in politics, like, it does. The world exists this quick when you have to police the world.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Whereas Sports Night is like there is no need for them to talk like this.
Right. It's weird. Like Sports Night is –
it's why I never liked it. Nobody has the zippy comeback. Whereas West Wing is like these are all hyper-intelligent individuals.
Yes.
I hope.
Yeah.
But running all these different departments, know exactly what they are, can think of – every problem because they have to. That's their job.
Yeah.
But from as many different vantage points and just like that takes a specific type of individual.
Yeah. Don't disagree.
Yeah. So it's just like, boom, of course Allison Janney comes in and she's sparring with, you know, Bradley.
Yeah.
And he's sparring with just right back and forth. And Richard Schiff comes in and just fucking cuts through the shit, you know, like a machete and just walks out of the room.
I remember randomly running into Bradley Whitford at the championship game. At the college football semifinal game with Oklahoma versus Georgia 2 years ago.
Okay.
And he was just randomly in line with the rest of us, just going into this you know,
like the
all the cattle just going into the stadium. And I got to tell him how much I really love West Wing. And he's like, you think I get tired of hearing that? I don't. I never do because it's a show all of us were insanely proud of. And one of the most difficult things I've ever done as an actor because of the dialogue.
And it was so good for so long.
It really fucking was.
It's genuine. It's one of those you can go back to. It's a procedural in that usually problem that gets brought up in Act 1 gets closed by Act 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's resolved in favor of the presidency or against.
Yeah.
There are some that continue on. They have longer story arcs to go throughout, and then there's something that crops up, and they got to deal with it because that's the effing job.
Right.
But like when a couple people die, it hits you hard.
It does.
Because you've been with them for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if Martin Sheen wouldn't make a great president.
It feels like that, right?
Yeah. That's what I want. I want Like, even if I don't agree with the president, yeah. I want the smartest guy in the room to be my guy.
Yes.
Because at least you could hypothetically come at him with logic and right. sway him to the a good idea, if it's genuinely a good idea, as yeah. opposed to just like, no, I don't listen to anything. It's like, you need to take in all information that you can and make the best decision. Even if I don't like it, you at least listen to all opinions.
Yeah. To be afraid of a dissenting opinion or opinion that's different than yours is – I don't know. I just don't think it's the market
of
intelligence.
It does you a disservice.
Of course it does. Yeah. Because you think about it doesn't mean you're absolutely right. Maybe there's an aspect of it you hadn't thought about. I mean, that's the whole yeah. genesis of movies, is to show you a point of view that you may not have looked at a certain thing through, a certain prism rather, to look – to present you a point of view that you may not have even considered, or a new prism with which to look at an old thing through. There we go. All right. I'm done talking. What are we up to? You're number five?
Well, before we get to my five, why don't we take a quick break
yep.
for our audio listeners on our feed, and we will be right back and jump back into these lists. Okay, let's just jump right back in right there.
I kind of like that as a new addition to the show.
All sure, right. They get to see that.
So they do.
We'll cut out that bit of audio.
That's right.
And that'll only be for you guys out there watching.
K-boom. All right, where are we?
You're number five? Number five.
All right, what is it?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, great choice, my man. Great choice.
So, look. It's an all-time classic.
I like how you do that. Look.
To explain, just like why I have to justify putting The Wizard of Oz on a list makes no sense, because if it qualifies, it's always in the discussion.
That's a fair point.
And, you know, I would still – I think they could do Oz again, like they went back for and made, you know, The Return to Oz or whatever it was called. I saw it in the theater with the Roller Boys type of thing. It was weird. It was super creepy. I liked that about it, that it was asking a kid, like, this isn't an okay world. You know, by and large, it's fantasy, it's all that. But at the same time, you need to be on guard a little bit, just like you do in the regular world.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's good. You know, I need to learn that shit. Actually, you do. But overall, the results aren't good. But I it's a world that still fascinates me. And, you know, based on the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
The Frank L. Baum book.
Yes. L. Frank Baum.
L. Frank Baum. There you go. Frank L. Baum was his brother.
I think you might be right, though, actually. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep talking.
You know, I'll see how long it takes you to put. I'll do your.
No, Frank L. Baum. You were right.
There you go.
There it is.
Thank you.
Boom. Oh, no. L. Frank Baum. I'm sorry. I was right.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You just did that on purpose, didn't you? You just did that on purpose.
I apologize.
I didn't even see it. You whipped that around so quick and whipped back. Hey, bam, right there. It says, or Frank L. Baum accepted. That's.
Accepted.
So.
We'll also take this. His name's completely. Well, fair enough.
They basically just said, are you willing to buy a book? You can call him Frank L. Baum.
That's fine. That's
fine. That's fine. We prefer L. Frank.
But we're not going to split hairs at this point. You're buying the book.
Thank you for $6. We appreciate that. Money's going to a good charity, and that charity is the family that still has the rights to whatever.
That's right. The L. Frank Baum.
Exactly. The Baum family.
The Baum Frank L. family. That's where it is.
And our hearts go out to them for the passing of L. Frank.
Yeah, of course.
Good man.
Good writer.
Great writer.
Sure. Fair.
It's a movie that I looked forward to it actually every year when they would play it on, I think it was ABC.
Yep.
But once a year. Was it in the spring?
I think you're right. Yeah. In the spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80th anniversary this year of the film.
Is it really?
Yep. In December. Yeah.
It's like that and The Sound of Music for a while. They played every year.
I'm going to have to watch that one of these days. I still have not.
You never seen it?
No.
I don't think – it didn't work for me as a kid.
Oh, okay.
There are moments they do, but by and large, no. I think it was made for that previous, our parents' generation type
thing.
Right. You go back, you ever seen old clips of the Mickey Mouse Club?
Yeah.
It's like, this shit was entertaining to you people? Every once and again, there'd be something be like, oh, I get it. And then others would be like, why are these two kids just basically like talking to each other in a scene?
Yeah.
This is a lot of nothing.
It's innocent and wholesome. That's all it was.
But moving pictures in my house, I get to watch. This is the coolest ever.
Yeah.
Annette Funicello is so hot. I couldn't tell you another one. What? Original Mouseketeer.
Frank, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, there's one more, and I can't remember who else.
Funicello is the only one I know.
Yeah, Annette Funicello, who did all those Beach Blanket Bango movies with Frankie Avalon.
Over and over and over again. It's amazing how much. It's like they made a million Westerns. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Teen beach party movies. And they made a million of those. And be like, guys, really? Just, I guess you hadn't seen anything else. You knew you liked a teen beach movie every once again, but this is really a
– Right.
For like 9 years, you're just churning this shit out.
The Mickey Mouse Club. Yes, Annette Funicello, Darlene Gillespie, Cubby O'Brien, Karen Pendleton, Doreen Tracy, Tommy Cole, Lonnie Bird, Bobby Burgess, Sharon Bayard. Yeah, I don't.
You can make up names at this point. You could.
All right.
David Moncrief.
David Moncrief. Here's one. J.J. Solari. I like J.J. Solari. Cheryl Holdridge. Sharon Baird. I feel like I know. Okay. All right. Oh, wow. She worked with Eddie Cantor. That's how long she's been. The nice Eddie Cantor, my friends, for the unleavened experience of a lifetime.
So basically Annette Funicello. And yeah. Neither of us knows any other.
No. But she was on H.R. Puffin stuff, this Sharon Baird. It's probably past her time, I think. The Boogaloos? Yeah. No? New Zoo Review? Nothing? Land of the Lost? Sigmund and the Sea Monsters?
I like the idea of Land of the Lost, but it never really delivered for me. So I stopped watching.
That movie certainly didn't. Woof. All right. Anything else on Wizard of Oz?
I don't know what to say.
It's true. It's a good point.
It's an all-time classic.
It is. Here's one that might be a punt, actually. Number five. No Country for Old Men.
You know what? Das Boot and Schindler's made it on. And I was like, yeah, it was the lower. Trust me, man. It's in the 17, it's more like 11, 12.
Wow. Really?
I know.
Wow.
And
that's
even
surprising.
Even I've acknowledged on the show before, I think this is the only time where I can specifically say I think the movie's actually better than the book.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I left up higher on my list than the other ones, because I'm like, that qualification of
true.
It moves it up higher, in my opinion, in the top 10.
I thought about that as well.
Fair. Fair points. I mean, a fair thing to think about.
A lot of choices.
Yeah, true. There were. You said he had a page and a half. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about this movie ad nauseum on other shows or other episodes, rather, of the show. And all I'll say is it still resonates with me. The dialogue, the pacing of it all. I think it's maybe the greatest Coen Brothers film ever made. You can argue that. I think this and Miller's Crossing are my top two, honestly. And it's for the dialogue. It's for the interactions within the scenes, everything like that.
You know, they still have others that I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You got Lebowski. He's still hanging around.
Lebowski's fun.
Okay.
I don't revere it as much as other people do. I enjoy it. I love it. I think it's great to watch and it's fun to watch. But I don't find myself running to watch Lebowski again.
Oh, I will. There's tons of scenes that I can go back for tiny little scenes too.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I feel that way about Miller's. And I feel that way about
yeah, I can do it about Miller's.
No Country.
I think I do it more for Lebowski than I do for anything else they've done.
Yeah.
But that's a discussion for a different day.
That's a different category. It's a different thing. But anyway, great stuff, Josh Brolin and
Well, its running mate that year was one that I nixed because it's loosely based.
Argo?
Nope.
Oh, There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Yes, it's loosely based on the Upton Sinclair book. Yeah, that's right.
Oil.
Yeah,
it's like, oil. Well, yeah, you gave the structure of a megalomaniacal type of individual in this world.
Yeah.
Then you made something else that's not based on a book.
That's an instant classic, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. That and No Country. It's just I wanted to spread around from No Country. I figured you would probably have it.
Yeah.
There's a lot to choose from. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer for a lot of movies. You can take whatever you want.
Yeah. Cormac McCarthy, fantastic job writing the book. But this film, for whatever, I think it took the essence of the book and stripped it down to a more razor sharp point. So when you're watching the movie, it affects you a little more powerfully than the book does, especially that last scene with Tommy Lee Jones telling his dream, which I think is incredible.
That's where I think the movie succeeds better than the book,
because
you can see the longing in his eyes of, did I make any difference? What's the meaning of life? Was this
– right?
Did I do anything? Will I be remembered at all, or am I just another fucking sand in the hourglass here?
Right, which is what every person has those thoughts. No matter how great or accomplished they are, they have those thoughts of like, oh – because I think we're built as human beings to think about what we didn't do versus what we did. Right? There wouldn't be so many self-help gurus and people telling you how to live your life and all these books written about how to quantify your world and live a better – if our natural inclination wasn't to think about what we missed out on or what we didn't get or the one that got away, then just being like, oh, yeah, but you know what? I'm pretty cool with what I got. Like, not a lot of people are cool with what they got.
No.
So that's why you have a whole cottage industry of inspirational – speakers and what have you, you know, and I think No Country speaks to that in some roundabout way. All right. Anyway, what's your number four?
Four is The Shining.
That's your three? That's my number three. Yeah.
There was four movies came up, and it's like, you guys are in the top four, done.
Oh, this will be curious. All right. Now I'm excited.
We may have some, but we definitely don't have one.
Yeah, okay.
Flat out, I know you don't have it.
Well, all right. But this one, I'm glad you put it on your list.
Oh, yeah. No, Shining is
– yeah.
It's my favorite Kubrick.
Oh, that's a strong statement.
Just because it's the one where I can – you can just keep going back to it. You keep going back to it and over and over and over again. And it's why one of the best documentaries that I've seen about film in the past 10 years.
Hell yeah, dude.
If not the best, was that. Just like, wow, this is even more interesting than I thought. I already was engaged on this for the different – what are you trying to say? And I'm making some sense of it to myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you see what other people – and if I heard that offhand, it'd be like, you fucking wackadoo. But then when they have evidence, they're like, well, this could be this and this and this and this and this. And you're like, I see where you're making a case 100%.
It's hands down still one of my favorite like documentaries about film ever made.
It's good, man. I can go back and rewatch it anytime.
It isn't a bunch of weirdos they found off the internet.
No.
These are accomplished, intelligent people with pedigree.
And numerous within whatever they're
doing. Yes.
If it's faking the moon landing, if it's about Native American oppression.
Right.
If it's about, you know, he has numerous layers to this motif.
Yep.
It's that movie is so fascinating. When they do a breakdown within that, which I had never thought about, of Danny on his big wheel, and they start going, all right, so here's the structure of the hotel as we physically understand it.
Right, right.
So once he starts seeing, you know, the Looney Tunes stuff is when he's off the grid of the physical within the movie.
Yep.
And he sees the girls and he sees the room, 237, and that's when the hotel is affecting, you know, his – psyche, understanding of the world around him.
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy. You start thinking about that as an adult, like, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah.
You're just a kid. You're experiencing this. It's not like you're manifesting in your head.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That movie's good.
I was speaking to Todd Douglas. Oh, here we go. I'm plugging in.
Which show is this?
It'll still be The Deep Cut, but Todd Douglas Miller is the guy who directed Apollo 11, the new documentary that came out this year about that would compile all that footage of Apollo 11. And they gave him 11,000 hours of, I think, audio and video that he compiled to create a team that he compiled to create this documentary. And he joked about it. There's no Kubrick in any of this audio. There's no stage set or anything like that.
Dude, you didn't get the full audio. You didn't.
Ellis is convinced. He jokes about it, but he jokes about it in a way that he's convinced that he thinks it was staged.
I got a buddy that teaches college calculus.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he does. He works at a university over in Santa Monica.
Right.
And then works at another one like up north somewhere. And he doesn't believe. He's like, I don't know. It's one of those things. It just doesn't seem like we've been there.
Yeah. Why haven't we? The big argument I always hear is, how come we've never been back?
Because it doesn't make sense. Now it does.
Right, right.
We have further dreams beyond. But what, to put a base on the moon? Okay, it's 1975. What are we doing with a base on the moon?
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're not going to keep going.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Now it does. It's like, okay, well, we're talking about going to Mars.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about, you know, colonizing the solar system beyond us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, we need a base on the moon. It makes sense to have one there now. It's, you know, strategically. And then we get, spoiler alert, at Astra.
Oh!
And I don't want to say what happens.
Okay, fair
easily
enough.
My favorite moment in that movie. It was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It was. I've never thought about that. And you see it and you're like, makes all the sense in the world.
The base on the moon. I like that idea.
We will. One day.
Charlie's running it. Some guy named Chuck runs it. Hey, it's a moon base. What's up, moon base?
I'm sure at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have the guy that deals with the people back here and the guy that runs the day-to-day. You got a manager and a general manager.
Good point. All right. Do you want to say more about The Shining or are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good. It's The Shining.
Yeah, it's The Shining.
What do you got it for?
Oh, the reason I put it high, I do want to say this. The reason I put it that high is also because it's a film that takes a source material and, in my opinion, creates an incredible film that can be enjoyed separately from the book.
Yeah.
So you can have two completely separate experiences enjoying and reading The Shining and watching The Shining. And I think that speaks volumes about it and why it moved higher up on my list. I don't know if I'll ever own the movie because I don't ever want to put myself through it. But whenever I watch it, it's an incredible experience.
Oh, really? I like so many of the scenes that drive the most mania. Coming up the stairs, when the lead up to him with the axe in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. When the final reveal, the first time when I saw he's in the picture, and my little mind was blown. I was like, what does that mean? I was way too young to see the movie. It was so good. So good. Maybe that's another reason I loved it. It scared me to hell.
Yeah.
But also like left me going questioning what reality was. It's like, I don't understand anything. Way too young for that movie. It was good.
Yeah. All right. So my number four is Blade Runner.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it would make your list.
Yeah. Yeah. I struggled to put it on because I was like, you know, do I do it? Do I not do it? But in the end, I've got to be authentic to the list. And for me, it is absolutely one of my favorite films ever made. It's my number two sci-fi film.
Okay.
I just, you know, it's based on that book from Andrew.
Philip K. Dick.
Yeah. Okay. Do androids sleep or something like that?
No, do androids dream?
Yeah, do androids dream, something like that. And
I've read some of his. I haven't read that one.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is a film I still come back to, man. I own it in every goddamn version that's ever been made.
Ewan Manson, a bunch of other people are, you know, the army for this movie is decently sized for the fervency. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
The number of people that foam at the mouth for it, like, it's not 100%, but it's got a high percentage of they're like, this movie is the best! It's the best! But I know 5-6 dudes. It's like, it's interesting that all of you share like, no. Okay.
Well, it's because the film didn't make a lot of money when it came out.
Yeah, but it's been so cherished and loved.
Yeah, but look at 2049. It crashed and burned into the box office. So it's cherished amongst our niche group. It's not cherished mainstream, so we defend it passionately that way.
Yeah, I prefer 2049.
Oh, interesting.
I connected more with that because I was an adult seeing it, whereas I was a kid seeing the other.
Oh, okay.
So
Yeah.
What it's asking of you is an adult.
Yeah.
This isn't a kid's movie.
I was 15 when I saw it.
Yeah, I was
younger. It wasn't
in
a theater. I saw it, like, I rented it and watched it, and I was like, holy shit.
For me, it was like, fuck, Harrison Ford's done another movie? Dude, I love Star Wars. Indiana Jones is arguably, you know, one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yeah.
Sci-fi. Oh, he's hunting robots? Can't wait. And it turns into this Tears in the Rain, which is a beautiful line.
It is. You get older, yes.
And it's supposedly improv by Rutger Hauer.
Yes.
And it's gorgeous. And you appreciate everything about it as a, you know, a teenager through adult.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I was like, they're not fighting. Like, what?
What's with the weird little doll? What's with the dolls?
I would understand lashing out at the end, at the, you know, the cold inevitability of life.
Right, right, right.
As opposed to turning philosophical because of a kid. But even that was asking a lot.
I don't know why he saved me. I love the voiceover. Every once in a while I watch the voiceover track because it's like, it's so funny to hear like the weird random voiceover they added afterwards. All right, what's your number three, man?
My three is The Godfather.
That's a punt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
Yep.
So we've done your three.
Okay.
My two is Goodfellas.
Oh, shit. You had to find a way to put it on there. Okay, fine.
Really? That's what you're going to say about Goodfellas?
It's not on my list.
I realize that, but why are you saying it's – you're saying it's not worthy of making
a
list.
I didn't say that. I said you found a way to put it on there. That's all I said.
Ultimately, this comes down to what are my favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
A lot of these are in that discussion or a lot of them I've been watching, like Wizard of Oz. I've seen that thing a lot. It was every year, looked forward to it. That thing is huge to me. Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies, period, point blank.
Yep.
So – that's going to make my list. That was a no-brainer. That was my number one until my number one cropped up.
Right.
But it was my number one through the other 15. It's like, you guys, what are you talking about here?
Right.
Can't even hold a candle to this. This is the best. Now it ends up being the second best to me, to these ears, to these eyes. That's it. You know? You'll see why. You'll get it in a second.
Yeah.
Goodfellas, we talked about it last week. Look, stellar performances all around. I love the roller coaster ride of up and then down because to me that makes the most sense. I know that you and others don't enjoy the demise as much, but somebody that lives that kind of hedonistic lifestyle or lack of at least societal morals, there needs to be a downfall for him, and it's nice that yes, there was,
and there actually was. There so was. It's a based on a true. So it's
it is
a true story of what they show. So yeah,
but the weird thing is you know, he's the one heinous individual that gets away with it because he's
yeah.
He turned on all the others. So everybody else pays for the sins that they all shared in equally.
But I think they do it on – they. But they do that on purpose because they don't show him doing horrific things like they show with
– Well, he's part of the murderer. He's in a drug trade that he shouldn't be in.
Right, right. But they don't show him like they do with Tommy and the way he flips out on the Frank Vincent and the shoebox thing.
Oh, no. When he –
De Niro when there's
when De Niro goes yeah. and cold blooded and kills everybody else yeah. in the Lufthansa heist.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which is so it's so inventive and the great coda for Layla.
Yeah.
Is the dump truck is you know dumping out the guy that was in Dumb and Dumber. I can't remember his name. I'm sure you'll pull it. You know that could be a schmodown question at some point.
Oh yeah, that guy comes out. He comes out of the dumpster.
Just
that's
slowly
right.
rolls his lifeless corpse. So that's after we've seen the human popsicle.
Yeah, Frankie Barbone.
Yeah, the little mini Frone, those huge caterpillar eyebrows.
I think it's Carbone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the icicles are just hanging off of it.
That poor dude.
The guy that him and his lady just get ice picked through the back of the fucking head.
He's an idiot.
Oh, my God.
That scene when they come in with the fur coats, De Niro flipping out on them is just fucking hilarious, man.
It is.
What are you doing? What are you fucking doing?
Anyway, see this new car.
New car?
Yeah. What are you? It's in her mother's name. I don't care. Take it back.
Take it back.
Oh. And then Morty breaking balls?
Fucking Morty.
What are you doing, Morty?
Morty's
Dude, you sell toupees.
Yeah.
You sell toupees. What are you doing? Just because you're pounding around and they like hanging out with you because you basically you put up with their bullshit?
Yeah.
And you're just not a threat. You're not a threat at all to them.
He owes me money, Henry. I want my money.
What am I, a schmuck? What?
Why don't you go tell him.
You go tell him.
Go tell him right now.
Henry,
see what he says.
He'll listen to you, Henry.
And then he starts singing.
Yeah. But puts his arm around him and fucking Leota, Henry. Just kind of smiling at him going, you don't know how lucky you are. You know what I mean? You've been in the shark tank and we've let this little fish just kind of hang out with the sharks for a while.
Yeah. And then the fish started thinking it was a shark.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just because you swim with us doesn't make you the same thing.
Exactly.
It does not.
Right, right.
Well, it's like I'm sure you noticed it in acting school. I noticed it in, you know, comedy. Somebody comes and does an open mic once and suddenly they're a comedian.
Yeah,
so
right.
So they show up to one acting class and suddenly I'm an actor. And be like, dude, it takes years of failure.
Yeah.
Years of failure, looking like an idiot, just dying, fucking not being able to perform a scene or not emotionally connecting or whatever the case is. You can't show up unless you're, you know. Daniel Day-Lewis, and he crushed it on day one.
It's mind-blowing to me. And even he didn't crush it on day one. He had to learn.
There's some people, I'm sure, throughout the history of any artistic profession, in some generation when somebody showed up from day one, they just intuitively knew how to do that.
Well, it's like these people, they start a podcast or they start a YouTube channel, and they think to themselves, how come I don't have 100,000 subscribers in the next night? And it's like, no. It
takes work.
It takes a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort. You may want to start one, but it's going to take a lot of effort on your part. And trust me, you're going to run out of ideas. You're going to run out of things to talk about. So you've got to figure out how do you keep this thing afloat. Yeah. It's one of the main reasons why I've never started a YouTube channel on my own for my stuff is because I'm like – I don't know that I could create a video every week about something, like because I'm already doing so much fucking content all over the social media that I'm like, on the internet, I'm like, where?
By the way, people out there, make sure to tune into Quick Cuts with John Rocha, and he's got a new 10-minute where he sits down with other podcasters and they just for 10 minutes talk about it. Anyway, check it out.
That's only for the Patreon. It's only for the Patreon.
You can catch all that
Quick Cuts.
And then I'm going to come out with the quickest cuts, and they're going to be 9 minutes. I'm just going to undercut them.
Nine?
Just a little bit. Nine.
Seven minutes.
It's not six squirrels sitting on a branch. What are you talking about? Chewing on some nuts? Whatever that was. Oh, man.
Here's how the quick cuts would go. So racism. Tell me about it.
Let's get into it, guys.
Let's get into it.
What do you think? 1-800-COLLIDER. For yes, 1-800-COLLIDER live. For no, let us know.
Let us know.
Those are some long numbers. We had to pay extra for those, so please take advantage.
Wow. All right. So my number two – are we done? Good. Okay. My number two is 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's my favorite Kubrick, so that's where it's at there. And it's written – of course, not on your list, I imagine.
No.
And it's
only one Kubrick for me. That's what kind of
– That's fair. The book was written in conjunction with the movie. So they were writing the book and basing the movie off the book as it was being written at the same time. So it's such an interesting concept that I had to elevate it even higher on my list.
As if you needed a reason.
Well, I love the movie. That's true. But yeah. I thought it deserved its place even more because of that unique approach to things, that you're writing the book at the same time that you're directing the movie or writing the script for the movie or, and what have you, when you're basing it off what someone else is writing. Or it's just literally based on the book in real time. And so I thought that was a phenomenal thing to find out about the movie. And if you wanted to find out more, you can go to The Cinephiles with a three-part episode with me and Scott Mance and Steve Morris. But anyway, this film is just something that I come back to all the time. It still is my favorite sci-fi film ever made. And I'm pretty surprised that I have two sci-fi films in my top four. It's not a category I'm really good at in terms of the Schmodown. But for some reason, those two films are just like speak to me on so many levels because they're more about more than just the basic story that you get presented at the beginning.
Yeah.
And there's so much symbolism in Space Odyssey about American-Russian relationships, about the idea of prehistoric man and man now. The mistakes that have been made, the issues that man confronts and has to endure and go through and overcome, and then failing at doing that, what does that lead to? And then the reliance on technology and how the reliance of technology can turn on you. This is a 1960s film giving you advice that still applies in 2019 about relying on technology too much, because when technology turns on you, there's going to be nothing left.
True. And that's on John's other podcast, Roka's Fears, where it's the artificial intelligence rising up, then robots, simians. Revolution.
Oh, the simians.
And then big corporate entities coming to take down the little man.
The little guy.
So it's a lot of –
come on now.
You know, you would think that you would believe in more conspiracy theories. You know what I mean?
I can't. I'm not a fan of people who believe in conspiracy theories. I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I do believe there are people who do certain things to undercut things, but I don't believe in vast conspiracy theories. I don't.
There's no way to keep it a secret. That's why it's too complex. If it takes more than a handful of people to keep it hush hush,
right?
There's no way it stays sealed.
Yeah. I agree. Anyway, great score, incredible work, of course, from the actors who not a lot of people knew of afterwards, Gary Lockwood, Keir D'Elia, and of course, the actor who voiced Hal, all of it. There's so much to still get from the movie. If you haven't seen the movie in a bit, go back and rewatch it. It might surprise you how topical it still fucking is about our world, about our approach to technology and what have you. All right. What's your number one?
My number one. So we're doing it based on a book. What's my favorite movie based on a book?
Uh-huh.
That would be Fletch.
Oh, no. No.
Of course.
This is sacrilege. Why is that done to the list?
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
It's a personal list.
Yes,
it is
true.
A personal list,
very
man.
True.
There's 17 options that were legitimately in the discussion. And I was like, you know what? I'm going by my favorite movies on these, or they have to have a special connection to me, or just whatever. My bullshit esoteric definition that I eventually landed upon, nebulous thing that, it is.
All right.
It is. And I was like, well, Goodfellas is number one until I was like, oh, yeah, Fletch. Fletch is based on a book. Fletch is, you know, my favorite movie. Fletch is making my number one. There's just no way around that.
Is the book called Fletch?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty sure. I'll go look it up. It was one of the things I always remembered.
I'll wait for you to look it up. I'm shocked. I didn't know it was based on a book.
It's we got, Fletch right there. You can find out how much you want to pay.
I'm not betting.
By Gregory MacDonald.
I trust you.
it's like some limited series.
Can you find it? Did you find it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you want to know? I mean, I have it for sale here at thriftbooks.com.
What's to know?
Fletch is an investigative journalist. Yes. Do you have – I don't see a release date on this. Anyway, it's my favorite movie.
All right.
Goodfellas, it's one of those of like my top five, Fletch, Goodfellas, either Star Wars or Empire.
Yeah.
Probably Last Crusade. Like there's six or seven fighting for it, but they're all in that just those, you know, Goodfellas and Fletch.
Yeah.
I can watch. That's fine. If I'm stuck with one of those two for the rest of my life, fine. I can live with it.
Tell me why you love Fletch so much.
It's just the stupidity of the dry humor. Mm-hmm. When he pulls out the cash to pay for, you know, his alimony for his ex-wife. Because her lawyer keeps showing up. Look at you. He's got all the cash. I saw my pimp today. And I didn't know what that joke was until I got older. But there's just stupid disguises. It's worked.
The disguises are great.
what kind of last name is Poon? Like, it just, it's so ridiculous. Frida, you know, hey, Frida lost the number to such and such. Oh, okay. Who's Frida? She's my secretary. Who are you? I'm Frida's boss. And the woman's just kind of going through the motions, and she gives it to him, like, kind of befuddled at the end. Like, all right, the stupidity of, like, I could see that kind of working. And his, you know, it's weird because I enjoy that so much, knowing that Chevy Chase does not have the best of reputations.
Right.
People that work with him don't seem to enjoy him. But if you listen to him, it's not him.
Yeah. it's never him.
It's everybody else.
Yeah, it's in his retelling of the story. Yeah.
I didn't read his, you know, autobiography.
Why would you?
But what I heard was his answer was always, trust me, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Here's all the reasons.
As a true sociopath would be.
And so I find that hard to believe. There's just a lot of evidence over decades.
Yeah, right. To me, if you've got like
– Yeah.
Multiple people saying the same thing about you, eventually you just don't want to face the truth.
And because – so for a kid now and they're like – they go back for it. They're like, it was fine kind of thing. But to me, this was – I didn't know him on SNL. So this was on some level my introduction to Chevy Chase.
Okay.
This in Vacation.
Yeah.
The first Vacation.
Vacation, yeah.
So I was too young for that and I saw those and I was like, dude, this guy's a comedic. Like I love his comedies, but they just spoke to me. It was so on board for – Now, if you're looking back, it's just like, well, those were kind of, you know, anomalous.
Yeah.
He's got a few films. He's got a, you know, small great part in Caddyshack.
He had a small run.
Yeah.
But the run that he had is still memorable.
But then he threw out a bunch of clunkers like Funny Farm in the theater.
As he got older, yes.
What was the one with where they end up in the backcountry with the inbred weird family? Dan Aykroyd plays one of them.
Oh, Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And Demi Moore.
Yeah,
and
Demi Moore, right,
John Candy.
Right.
And it's like I saw that in the theater. And I was like, this is just weird.
Yeah. I think it started to turn with Modern Problems.
Okay.
Which is, I think, 84, 85. That's when he was like pushing the limit of what he could do. Mm-hmm. And the writing was betraying him. Because like even the stuff he did with Goldie Hawn, that's some great stuff.
Yeah.
She was a great back and partner for him in terms of the back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Because his dryness working on her kind of innocence or her vulnerability or her desire to believe in people and him kind of like playing around with it, it's great stuff. But yeah, like, oh God, we should take a look at that real quick because I want to see. Yeah,
like he doesn't have a top 10 for me, I don't think.
No, God, top – if I get to 5, it's a miracle.
I would imagine we could – because of like things like Caddyshack. Oh yeah, he had a small role in that. He was good in that. But if it's, you know, all Funny Farms, Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, Foul Play is the one with Goldie Hawn. Okay. Then Caddyshack, Seems Like Old Times, also Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
Under the Rainbow I thought was really funny, the one with the where it's set back in the 30s when The Wizard of Oz is being shot at the same time. So him and Carrie Fisher are they're detectives trying to solve this crime, and they keep running into the Munchkins, the actors who play the Munchkins in throughout Hollywood. I think it's a decent, certainly a fun comedy if you like Chevy Chase.
Okay.
It's not great, but it's certainly worth your time to take a look at.
Yeah, but that's when he was still trying to be charming.
Yeah, right.
And eventually he's just, I don't know, he believed that Chevy Chase was huge.
I guess I'm wrong, bro, because Modern Problems is before Vacation and before Fletch.
Wow.
So interesting. So maybe – and European – so maybe you're – yeah, Spies Like Us I absolutely hated.
I like that, but I was a kid, so I still like it for the same reasons I liked it as a kid.
Okay. But then he does Three Amigos. Is Three Amigos his last gasp?
Well, no, because I would say Christmas Vacation.
Okay, so Christmas Vacation in 89. So Caddyshack 2 sucked. Funny Farm was terrible.
Yeah, Caddyshack I don't count – or 2, I don't count.
Yeah, The Couch Trip was terrible.
Yeah.
Fletch Lives was okay. It wasn't great.
It's got some moments.
It's serviceable. Certainly.
It is. A lot of people say, like, actually, if you go back and rewatch it now, and by a lot of people, I mean, like, the ones of us that care about Fletch.
Yeah.
But I've heard other Fletch people go, you know what's actually really good? Fletch Lives. And, like, I mean, I appreciate the making fun of the Song of the South. Like,
yeah,
I appreciate that. And I appreciate other aspects, showing the hypocrisy of televangelism. Like,
right.
Sure.
She kind of disappeared, too, Julianne Nicholson, Mrs. Bruce Springsteen. Like she was on Sisters and, of course, this. And then she
got a run.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, so maybe 80. So 89 with Christmas Vacation. So through the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, you could – or 80s. And
it's right there.
You could argue it's a not bad run for a comedian. 12 years.
It's a specific pocket though.
Because
he's not in a bunch of movies where they're generationally you have to go back and watch outside of maybe Caddyshack.
Yeah.
He's got such a small role in that.
That's true.
But the Vacations have been his most enduring franchise.
Right. I didn't see the remake or whatever that was.
Me either.
Ed Helms. I didn't want to see that. But yeah, then he does Nothing But Trouble, Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
No.
Hero, which is terrible.
No.
Cops and Robbersons.
No.
Man of the House.
No.
Vegas Vacation.
Hey.
I don't.
It's got a couple things.
Dirty Work, Snow Day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it randomly pops up in Orange County.
Sure. So that would have to count.
I guess.
If we're doing – exactly. And then Community, that TV movie.
Now, he's great in Community. That is fun stuff.
I couldn't get into that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I tried.
That's shocking to me.
I don't know. Okay. Just like the everybody zany?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine. Funny in that.
All right.
Good cameo there.
Exactly. Cameo work.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What's your number one?
All right. Fine. Sorry. One number is Godfather.
Godfather.
Sorry. I know we're running a lot. All right. Yeah, The Godfather. I mean, what are you going to say? Mario Puzo's fantastic writing, incredible book. I saw the movie and read the book years later. And still love the book as much as I love the movie. It's too – once again, it's like The Shining in a different way in that the book – it's very similar to the movie. The movie, rather, is very similar to the book, but both of them are still fantastic experiences on their own. And I think that speaks volumes to what Coppola was able to do with that novel. And then, of course, the second one, which there is no novel for the second one.
I know.
Him being able to create that from scratch is
phenomenal. If you want to say that that's based on a
– Yeah, I guess it could count.
You could – because in my head I was like, oh, well, Godfather 2 is – my favorite of the two.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why if it was on this list.
There is no third one.
Well, then I might have to put that first over Fletch because that's one of my – but whereas the first Godfather, it's like, dude, you're great. But then, you know, the next iteration to me just – it just works a little bit better. And
I thoroughly agree.
I like being with the characters more, so it's good we get more of that as opposed to the setup.
Yeah. Once again, Brando, if you, look, some of you guys might be young. You haven't seen The Godfather. For God's sakes. Watch it. It's not like your dad's film. But no, this is actually a pretty fantastic film and at times brutal film about the responsibilities of family and how one man who was against his family, didn't want to be part of his family, through circumstance finds himself leading his family brutal decisions he makes to do that, the emotionally brutal decisions he makes and the people he puts through because Michael, in a sense, is an introvert put into a position like this and an introvert without the capability to have authentic human connection. It's all about succeeding at what he's driven to do. He's such a political animal in everything that he's in that thinking he can be vulnerable or soft or blah, 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 it's not sustainable. He has had moments. But he doesn't sustain a consistent level of affection or vulnerability with anybody.
I think once he makes the choice to follow in his father's footsteps,
right?
Basically saying like this is inevitable and it's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you created me this way,
right?
Type of thing. So that's why he's so dogged in that determination. Is he made a calculated decision when his father went down? Of I will kill him.
Yeah.
Thereby taking me out of the life that my father wanted for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one. What, Fredo's going to go do it?
Right.
This has to be done.
Sonny's going
to
do it?
Yeah.
No.
Sonny's going to come in too hot-tempered.
Right.
And fuck it up from day one as opposed to like slowly drawing them in and gaining their confidence. Mm-hmm. His bodyguard, the cop, has to basically start eating his pasta and think nothing's going to happen because, you know. Yeah. It's what a true predator.
Well, it's also tragic too, Matt, in that he wants to be like his father. And there is that moment in Godfather 2 when he's talking to his mom after he's gone away and he comes back and he says to her, how come my father was revered and loved and I can't and I'm not revered and loved in the same way? I'm losing my family. How did Papa not lose his family? And it's because the psychological construction and makeup of Vito Corleone is completely different than Michael Corleone. They have the same desire to succeed, but the way Vito does it is there's more affection and care and connection versus Michael, which is more ruthless and cold-blooded. There's just a difference.
True. But I think it more so, too, is reflective of how much Vito actually controlled because it went from provincial to corporate.
Yes.
And now you're talking scales, like economies of scale of a massive corporation moving internationally, getting into drug trade or trying to get into Cuba and opening hotels and gambling and all that and owning that and eventually getting into Vegas. Whereas before your dad was like, I get a piece of the shipping of the docks.
Yeah.
And this union over here, like it's easier to manage and you don't have to be so ruthless.
Yeah.
because you're not talking about international hundreds of millions of dollars, massive moving parts.
Yeah.
That takes a more cutthroat individual. So you keep coming to these calculations of if we want to keep existing and growing, Fredo.
Yeah, right. In the end. Yeah.
You're going to hurt all of us.
Yes.
So I need to remove you from the equation. You should know this.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to teach you. I gave you the opportunity. You broke my fucking heart.
Johnny Ola.
Hey!
Johnny Ola.
When he does that, oh, it's such a great – I love that that, to me at least, I'm sure it existed in some older films, but that kind of –
well, and this
just
is
beautiful.
I will say this as a side thing. This is what drove me nuts when I was listening to Coppola's comments. I defended his comments about the Marvel movies, him saying like they're despicable, blah, blah, blah. I defended his comments in terms of like this. The man's a legend. He's got a right to feel about these films however the hell he wants and express his opinion. However, and let's get this really, really fucking clear, and I'll look in the camera and say this. Gangster films were considered B-movie niche films for decades in Hollywood until he did The Godfather. So people looked at gangster movies, noted directors, and said the same thing. They're despicable. So for him to turn around and look at a genre, a medium of film, and say, oh, they're despicable, without recognizing what he was able to do with the gangster formula and the gangster film, I think is incredibly short-sighted and ignorant. I really do. And, you know, whatever. He can have an issue with me if he wants. I'm just saying.
All I say is, as far as I know, one of his best friends or closest or longest friends is George Lucas. So.
Yeah. Oh, right. Good point, too. Very good point, man.
Look, you know, Marvel is really following Lucas's blueprint.
Right. Lucas and Spielberg, who's also in
but Lucas
sphere.
Of – there's a lot of toy money. If you hook kids early, like this is a business. Like money, hey, who liked them dollars? It was inadvertent, but at the same time, it's not like he shied away from it once he figured out.
Yeah, true.
Oh, Star Wars toothbrushes, huh? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure Lucas would have minded.
Gene Simmons is over there going, we try and get kids' name on so much. How do you do it? George, how do you get the public to like you that much? I would just want to sell more shit.
That's all we want to know, George. All right, well, that's our separate top 10 list. Now we're going to combine this list into one list, and let's see what we come up with here. Matt, do you want to?
Yeah, I can type
out. Sounds good.
All right, so one is Godfather.
Yes.
Easy. Two, you don't have Goodfellas. What is the next common thing we have? The Shining?
The Shining, I think, is the next common thing we have.
All right, I would take The Shining next then.
And then Jaws at six. And
six and seven.
Six and seven. Right. We should move it a little bit lower then.
Yeah, I would say. Okay. So Fletch is my one. There it is.
Yep.
What's your next highest?
2001, A Space Odyssey at number two.
All right. I got Goodfellas at two. Goodfellas lost on, you know, your nonsense last week. You flipped the coin this week, and that will determine the winner.
Where's the coin?
It's right here.
Do we have it? This is for you. Once again, for you all that are new, we flip a coin. This is what we do sometimes. So it's fair. So it's honest.
Yeah, we're already almost an hour and 50 minutes into the show.
What? Really?
Yeah.
We got to wrap this thing up. All right.
Yeah.
Me and my house talk. Sorry, guys.
Oh.
It was Batman. Does that mean you win? All right.
Of course it means I win.
All right.
Goodfellas, 2001.
Yeah. Was that the weighted coin? I can't tell.
That is not the weighted coin. Right. That's not the weighted coin you have, and then there's a weighted coin that I have, and this is
That's true.
Equally unweighted.
All right.
You won last week with this coin. You're really going to call into question it's
bona fides? Just a question. It was just a question.
Yeah, it was a leading question. Objection. Sustained.
Oh, was it sustained?
That was sustained.
Deception. It's a verdict reference. All right. Number four for me is the next highest one. That's Blade Runner.
Well, I think Jaws should go next because it's 6-7. And we don't have it on yet.
Oh, yeah. Jaws. Yes. Where are we at now?
So we have 7, 8, 9, and 10 left.
Okay. I have Blade Runner at four.
Yep. Okay. I've got Wizard of Oz at four.
Ooh.
We don't have anything else in common, do we?
I don't think so.
No, we don't.
Okay. Are we flipping all the way down? I feel like Blade Runner, since you won the last one.
Doesn't matter. Once again. Goodfellas lost last week.
You would totally say this.
Yeah, I'm just using
you. You just tried to say that Goodfellas should go on there without any flip. Well, even the flip.
Holding a mirror up to society, and society is just shocked at what they see. That's what I'm doing.
But I'm doing the same thing. But you're based on a book.
Your hypocrisy is getting shown back at you.
You
don't like it.
You literally just said before we flipped, Goodfellas should go because it didn't get blah, blah, blah. You didn't even want to flip for Goodfellas.
I know. And now you want to use it. And I relented
out of respect
on your
for you.
Objection.
Oh, my God.
Would you like to flip again?
No, no.
And I don't know about this catching it and doing the flip over.
That's how it's supposed to be.
No, we let it land.
We're on camera. We can't be letting it land.
Of course we can. Why are we changing things now?
Because we're going off camera.
It's not like you stopped and went, hey, guys.
I did. I tried to.
They didn't see it. I didn't even see it.
I tried to. But I was honest.
Yeah. So you're saying, you're implying.
No, I'm not.
Did I lie?
I was honest in this situation.
This is what I have to deal with out there. I'm flipping. Like we've always done.
Just flip it already.
I played the violin for 6 years. How dare you?
What do we got?
Who do you think we got?
Weighted coin. Great.
Who do you think we got?
Awesome. Put asterisks next to all these. Are we flipping all the way down?
What was yours?
A Blade Runner. All right.
I mean, do I feel like we should? Probably not.
Okay.
Five. All right, my next is six.
Oh, my next five is five. No Country for Old Men. All right. So where are we at now?
10.
Oh, okay.
What do you got left?
No, you win it because my next one is Jaws at 6 and then Social Network at 7. So if you've got 6, then your 6 gets on the list of 10.
Die Hard it is.
Boom. All right, let me go get those things while you vamp.
I will vamp for. So welcome to everybody that's, I don't know, have never tuned in before. Just glad you tuned in. Hope you like the show. We did a lot of BSing today, a little bit more than we usually do. And John's got the door open. Traditionally, when he did that in the past, we were here by ourselves. It didn't really matter how loud I got. And then I didn't realize that until about 10 seconds into that door being open. But what are you going to do? Guys, I'm here for...
What's that?
I'm here for the fun. I'm used to when you open the door, it's late at night. We're the only two people here.
Oh, right. There's
Frank
people
might
here.
Be. So I was speaking at normal volume.
Yeah.
And I took a look over and I was like, I can see Wendy. I should probably talk softer.
Oh, we've been yelling all through this. Why talk?
I know, but these are doors and whatnot in the way.
Right.
Stifling the sound as opposed to it's me going, hey, welcome.
All right, let's do this thing.
All right.
The top 10 movies based on a book, yeah. At number 10.
Die Hard.
At number 9.
No Country for Old Men.
At number 8.
Blade Runner.
At number 7.
The Wizard of Oz.
At number 6.
Jaws.
At number 5.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
At number 4.
Goodfellas.
At number 3.
Fletch.
Numero dos.
The Shining.
And our number one movie based on a book is...
The Godfather.
All right. That's our list of movies based on a book. Thanks, everybody, for downloading this or watching us on this episode of the Top 10.
Yeah. Patrons, we hope you enjoyed. We did this all for you.
Yes.
So you get it a week before... Those individuals may be watching on Collider. We're not sure when that goes up. We'll know in the future. Yep. As of right now, it's undecided because it's next or 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
Video gets it a week later. But the audio, you get it at the same time that we do it on our feed. So you're good to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything we want to say, final things?
No, just what we said before, Houston, be on the lookout. But hopefully next week we have an answer for you. London, we're working on a date, but we're coming back. Toronto, we'll be moving on to you next.
Yes.
And then adding cities to that. Shortly thereafter, I'd guess, because we've got somebody helping us now.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the truth of the matter. For those of you who are new to us, we have done live shows last year or this – as you listened earlier this year and last year, we did London. We've done Chicago. We did Los Angeles. And now we want to start making the live shows more of a thing. So if you're a fan of the show, come on board. Get into the Facebook groups. We've got separate Facebook groups also for cities, specifically four cities, so we can get some head count and see who's really interested in seeing us come to their town and do a live version of the show. Trust me, it's some of our best stuff. If you want to go back and listen to some of the live shows, you can on our podcast feed and enjoy some of those shows. We're even wilder in person.
And if you don't want to get on Facebook, because there's some people that just don't want it.
True.
Hit us up at the top 10 live with the number 10 at Gmail and send us an email there and put in there, Houston, Toronto or London. And that way we can just email you. It helps us with a heads up if you want to do that way instead of joining the groups if you're not on Facebook. So the top 10 live with the number 10 at Gmail and hit us up over there. Just subject the city and then let us know in the body of the email how many people. That way we can just add it to. But Houston, it's coming. Yep. London, it's coming. Toronto, it's coming after that.
Yep, absolutely.
But hopefully in short order the next couple of weeks we have all that information for you.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Where can they follow you?
They can find me at Matt Nost anywhere online.
You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And one last thing, if you want to become a patron of the show and get this video early, yeah, you can sign up at www.patreon.com/thetop10 with the number 10 there at the end, and see the multiple tiers we have to support the show and to get you qualified so you can get the video a week earlier than the rest of the fans do. So there you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening to or watching our first episode of the Top 10 back on Collider. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you enough, and we'll see you next time on the Top 10 Show.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.